It was recording, and Skype and everything was tested before we started. So
you are a professional, sir.
I am far from a professional, but we are on the rant right now. Actually, let me just move this nonsense over.
Yeah, do what you
got
to do.
Still got some growing pangs over here, but it's okay. Things seem to be working.
The new laptop and the new system.
Make sure I got all my stuff square here. Okay, I think we're ready to go.
All right, you ready to do this?
Yeah, you could. You're so good at the intro. You should.
I don't mind doing the intro.
I appreciate that. Unlike some other people who, can't show up.
You know what? Maybe when we beat him this year, we can make
him. Oh, don't even start with me. We didn't even get through the intro yet. Please just do the intro.
We can make him show up on time. That'll be a fucking whore. Hey, I didn't say that now. Last week.
Yeah.
All right. You ready there, Freddie?
Yeah, I guess so, sir.
All right. A huge weekend in professional wrestling.
Huge.
NWA Hard Times. NXT's Worlds Collide, the Royal Rumble, the last picks of 2019, season one of The Shining Wizards, and Jordan Oliver from MLW Injustice calls in tonight, all next on The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
How many Cinnabons do you think he is worth?
Cinnabons?
Yes.
Six.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on? This is Mark Adam Haggerty, the voice of MLW and the guy that High Times magazine called the voice of independent wrestling, telling you to keep listening to the Shining Wizards podcast, the first ever wrestling podcast. Well, I should say the second wrestling podcast that I ever found, but one of my favorites. Keep listening because I will be too.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
You cocksucker!
Got there! Ooh!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live, in-your-face edition of the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Matt was absolutely correct. We do have a lot to cover tonight. Jordan Oliver will be calling in the 8 o'clock hour. But first, Tony.
Kevin.
Matt.
What's going on, boys?
Ooh, baby. I don't know, Matt. You tell us.
Wow. Once again.
What happened? What happened?
You.
What?
Come on, man.
What?
You're very ornery about the wrestling community.
Well,
I think you do this to yourself.
I kind of do, but I don't.
I told you can text me and Kevin. We'll talk wrestling with you. You don't have to go on the internet and talk to trolls.
If you're not sleeping at 11 p.m. on a Saturday.
Look, you don't look as good as Kevin if you stay up all night.
Oh, this is true. And I have been staying up all night, so.
I mean,
up
you
all night.
You and me both. We've been watching nonsense on TV, though.
What's your poison?
It's not my poison. My wife's been watching this Alaskan Last Frontier show.
That sounds actually pretty interesting.
It's very interesting.
Okay, so you're in.
I am very much in. I wish I was as handy.
So you can't blame. You make it sound like, oh, but like my wife will put on like these like basketballer wives, and I'm like, what? Really? I can't get into that.
Yeah,
shit.
That sounds bad. I like when people like kill animals and they eat them, and they like they fix their tractor by blowing into the gas cap, and it starts. I don't know how it starts, but it does. Like,
well,
I don't understand it.
Usually if something blows me, I get all fired up too.
Have you watched that Life Below Zero?
No.
What is this?
I don't know. It's a show where
they
people
live in fucking Antarctica.
You'd be surprised, dude. Like, I went on a YouTube journey. How many towns there are, like across the Bering Strait. Like, there's two islands that are next to each other. One's Russian and one's American. and there's like 35 Americans living on the American island. It's nuts. They have a school. They have like all this other nonsense. They don't have internet. And of course, they don't have a hospital. So I guess if you fucking get sick over there, you're pretty much on your own.
Right. Well, that's the same thing with this Alaskan Last Frontier thing. But I got some questions that my wife can't necessarily answer.
Well, what do you think? She's an expert because she watches a show about Alaska?
Bro, they got the.
Alaska's a wild place, man.
They got backhoes.
That's right.
Like, apparently, that takes them like 8 hours if they need to go to the mall and buy shit because it's like you have to take a plane and a boat and all this other nonsense.
Oh, is this the town where the supermarket, everything is like 10 times as much as it is
here?
No,
this isn't a town, Tony. This is one family that lives on this, like, peninsula.
Holy fuck, really?
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Like hiding from bears and shit?
Yeah, they got a.
I'm all in. When is this on?
I don't know. We're watching it on Hulu now.
And what's it called?
The Alaskan.
Final
frontier, the last frontier.
Oh, I gotta check this shit out. This sounds amazing. It's amazing
because it's all about spring and summer is like 4 months, and then the other 8 months they call it the Great Freeze. So the show That's is right. essentially them spending every waking moment
and no sunshine, like darkness.
No, in the spring they get like 22 hours of sunlight.
Yeah.
And then, but they spend this whole time. Preparing for that 8 months of the darkness, the cold.
Why are they living there?
Because that's where they all grew up. That's their home. That's what they know. It's fascinating shit.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
Why do you live in the mean streets of North Arlington?
You know what?
Why do I live in West Orange?
There's no answers to those questions, yeah, Kevin.
Exactly.
I guess that was a dumb question.
I watched the Alaska PD. That's kind of wild.
There you go.
Ooh, you know what I'm into lately?
The live PD.
You guys are going to be so... You're going to be like, oh, of course. Boy. Yeah, before you shit on it, I'll just put it out there. The 1,000-pound sisters.
I can't.
Have you seen this thing?
No. No. Why?
Oh, because it's great. See, Tammy is 32, and she's married, and she wants to have babies, but she's 400 pounds. And her sister, Amy, she's a year younger, and she's 600 pounds.
Can you not have babies when you're 400 pounds?
No, she wants to be a little more sexy for her. Oh, her husband's a complete mess to begin with.
Is that Shut your mouth, you thong-wearing fatty!
Really?
Is that the same show as, like... Well, listen, if they're going to put these shows on the air, that's okay to drop right there.
Hey, shut up, fatsoes!
Oh, we're doing this now?
They're starring on a show that basically calls them...
They're the 1,000-pound sisters.
Yeah, and there's another show called, like, My Big Engagement.
Oh, there's hundreds of them. Like, but these two are sisters, Kev. That's the catch.
Like, and who are the Bobby Heenan sisters?
The Rosati sisters.
The Rosati. Is this that show?
No. These girls are much bigger than the Rosati sisters.
Get out of here. Peace.
No, they're pretty big, dude. And they're in their, like, 31 and 32. They're young still. And so, like, the whole beginning part is, like, they want to get gastric bypass, so they keep going to see this doctor in Georgia. Oh, and you know how they get around? The married couple sits in the front of the minivan.
Did they bypass on the opportunity?
How much does that guy weigh?
All right.
So the 400-pound one can sit in the actual seat in the front. The 600-pound one actually sits on egg crates on the floor. So if they stop short or take a turn too fast, she flops and flies all over the... It's the greatest television ever. Greatest TV ever.
That sounds... So I can't watch the big people.
Oh, and they can't drink sodies anymore.
Sodies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sodies?
That's what they call their colas. They're pops. They can't drink sodies.
Where are they? Where do these people live?
Oh, God. They drive to Georgia to see the doctor, but they're down south. I always forget the town they're from.
What,
they're YouTube
the state?
They're YouTube stars, by the way.
Is it Georgia, then?
No. They might it be Alabama? They were
wow,
so happy.
That's
it was the first time they left their state to go to another state.
Tony, this is fascinating.
It's great stuff. It's unbelievable. I haven't missed an episode yet. And the episode they
How
showed,
many episodes have there been of this
three.
Show?
Three.
Oh,
and
okay.
This is the best part. The episode they show on the weekend has bonus footage.
What do you mean on the weekend? This airs multiple nights?
Oh, yeah, dude. Props to the good people at TLC for putting this out there.
Props to the good people at WWE for missing Edge's first spear in
on
9 years.
Dolph Ziggler.
You fucking assholes.
Did they put that in yet?
Yeah, they released alternative angle footage.
But is that on, like, if I go to the network and watch it again?
I don't think so. I think that's, like, a separate clip.
Dolph Ziggler was pissed about that.
I was pissed about it. You saw some pimple-faced idiot standing up going crazy. I'm like, they missed the fucking spear!
Yeah, but I didn't know that Dolph was the first spear.
I thought
Carl Anderson was.
Like, you saw him get in the ring, and you're like, he's going to spear the first person, and it looked like it was Dolph, and it cut away. The camera was terrible for the Royal Rumble.
For the whole thing, you didn't like it.
What? The camera?
The camera?
There was a couple times where the camera was like elsewhere and you missed shit, and it really bothered me. And I know this is something I've complained about before. The fucking zooming in and out and the shaking of the camera literally makes me nauseous.
Yeah, now that you mention it.
But no, they missed a lot of like stuff in the ring. I was like, who's missing the spear was the biggest, like, if that didn't happen, it would have been like, oh, whatever.
But here's the thing. Like I just said, Tony, I don't know if you noticed it. I would have never have noticed it if I didn't see Dolph Ziggler's tweets. Like, I would have never realized that Dolph Ziggler was the first spear.
That's why when you said, I was like, what are you talking about?
No, I mean, you saw it as soon as he got in the ring, you knew he was spearing somebody, and then they cut to the crowd, and I was like, and then you saw Ziggler laying in the ring, and you're like, they fucking missed the first spear.
So you caught that?
Yeah,
right away. Wow.
I was screaming at my TV.
Well, Ziggler's gotten fucked over so many times in his career anyway, so this is just another feather in that cap.
I just, look, you know he's coming. You know he's coming out.
That's right.
Coming.
And you know he's going to spear people. Like, that's, you go like, Edge is 21. He's going to spear. A, B, C, D. Don't fucking miss it. How do you miss that?
Oh, shut up.
You shut up. And you know what else bothers me?
Nah, it's a big deal.
People who climb to the fucking top rope in the Royal Rumble should automatically be fucking eliminated. You tarts.
I never got, like, if people go through the ropes, like, do you, like, if you're leaving the ring like you would normally leave the ring, and you go between the ropes and then go to the top rope, like, and then you get knocked off, that always bothered me that was an elimination.
Why? You're technically in the ring when you're on the top
rope. When you're on the top rope, I guess you are, like, if you're right on the turnbuckle. But I never, that concept never,
I just,
like,
hate
rang
when they
well
go to
with
the
me.
Ugh. Like, how are you going to spotlight Bianca Belair and have her throw out eight people and have her go up to the top rope and get eliminated? Like, she's dominating. She's not an idiot.
Why do you think they picked her for that spot?
Because she's jacked, bro.
Because I think they have I think they do this a lot in NXT with the women's division, where they give someone a title for a super long time. And when they take that title off of that person, that kind of primes the next person to be like this super monster. Like, Shayna Baszler's the champion for a year, and then Rhea Ripley beats her, and now Rhea Ripley has to be the super monster heel or face or whatever she is. So you have to make sure, like, the next person you line up for her is not dog shit. And when they did it with Bianca Belair the first time, I mean, when Sam Roberts is telling people she's not ready and she's not good enough to be in this championship match, you know, I think it was a nice feather in her cap. I hate Bianca Belair. I hate the character.
Oh, love her.
But good for her. It's a smart move for NXT, because now you see that there's a viable opponent for the winner of the Rhea Ripley. She's getting her title match at, what, Portland?
Yeah,
NXT
over.
Portland.
Wonderful. Good
yeah,
for
right?
her. Yeah,
right? I like the both Rumbles I liked. The rest of the Lacey Evans sucks.
She's dog shit. I've been telling you that for months.
Dude, there was, first of all, they made it, she did like a bunch of spots off the top rope. I can't remember the last time I saw a wrestler who looked so uncomfortable going up to the top.
It's those high-waisted trunks that she wears.
And she was just bad.
Don't you dare.
It was bad. I can't believe I picked fucking Lacey Evans to win. What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
You're the only one?
No, you picked Lacey Evans to win too.
Did I really? Yes. Are you sure about that?
100%. You pick Lacey Evans to win, and you changed your pick to Baron Corbin to beat Roman Reigns. You and Tony still went 5-3, so you're both in the lead, because I tried to get cute.
I was hoping so badly that somebody else was going to come out of one of the porta potties to attack Roman Reigns.
I was upset that he didn't come out like covered in like blue water.
They should have done something.
It was real convenient that porta potty was on a dolly too.
Yeah, well,
I know. Yeah, we noticed that
fucking
too. Watching
pissed me
it.
Off.
Well, I was actually asking because I watched it with Rich and KP. I was like, "Is that how porta potties like are? Like, is that what like no. Is that how you move them around?"
No, because kids would fucking knock them over because they're little jerk offs.
And I guess there's like a bed. Or
yeah,
something.
You just put it on the ground and it doesn't go anywhere. It's fucking bottom heavy.
But then when they talk, I'm like, that doesn't look right. Like with the dolly on underneath it.
Otherwise, I thought the men's Royal Rumble, I thought, saved the day. And the Becky...
saved the day? You thought the show was bad until it got to that point?
Look, I missed the Shorty G Sheamus thing. Because why did they start the pre-show at fucking 5 o'clock?
Yeah, we're chatting. I'm like, Rich, what time do you want us to get there? He's like, I don't know, 4:30. Like, what? Like, why? That's a 12, like, 8-hour day, or essentially.
I told people to come at 6:30, and we missed all the pre-show matches.
Well, Ultra Vince won, so...
Ultra Vince won, and Andrade beat Umberto.
Yes.
They did this weird thing with R-Truth where he wanted to get in. Like, it was...
It was that went on too long. It was funny at first, but it was...
Yeah, it didn't really play well.
Yeah, then, like, everyone was trying to count. Like, Sam and Renee and Booker were all kind of speaking over each other.
Yeah. The Roman Reigns Corbin match, it was what it was. It was to be expected. Bobby Roode and Dolph got involved. The Usos finally came back, or I don't even know.
They've been back.
Okay, see,
weeks.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they formed like the Familia or whatever the hell they're
the
calling
bloodline,
themselves.
Bro.
The Bloodline,
bro.
Yeah.
Called
on,
the
man.
Bloodline?
How dare you?
So Roman beat him.
La Familia was a stable headed by Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder.
Is that why you're wearing your
and Vicky Guerrero
Brian Myers t-shirt?
Edge. This is a Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins t-shirt.
Oh, really? I'm surprised I didn't see Zack Ryder's shit all over it, because that's usually what he does, is just puts himself over.
Win or lose, never defeated. I did this because I remember last week you made a remark like, what are you wearing under that sweatshirt? And it was like, oh, I thought it'd be some stupid major thing. So today,
I mean, you're all fucking majored out.
So today I majored it out just because of that comment.
I went all Bret Hart last night. Bret Hart socks, Bret Hart t-shirt.
Nice.
Yeah, and I wore my fucking turnbuckle throwback shirt because I thought we were going to rub their faces in the fucking fact that we fucking beat them, and we fucking didn't.
We lost to them?
No, we tied them.
Because some dickhead put Baron Corbin for our pick.
Motherfucker. Kevin. Kevin is the only one who was like, we should go with Roman Reigns. And me and you, we disagreed because we picked...
What did I say? We should listen to Kevin because Kevin fucking wins.
Yes, but that was not the final decision.
I thought we were going
to
do...
We need to have a better fucking plan, okay?
Yeah, my plan was majority gets the pick.
My plan was not to do it in the first place.
Oh, you and me both for both of these fucking
tough
things.
Titties, bitches. We're doing it now.
Oh, yeah, we're already in a fucking hole.
We're not in a hole. It's still zero.
We
could
have had 1 point. We blew it because you're
could have had more
stupidity.
Than that. I also thought we should have went with Charlotte. I believe I said that, too.
You did. Yeah. You did. I mean...
Who do we go with?
Ronda.
Oh, that's right. Well, all right, fair enough, but that was our majority choice. Like, two of us took Ronda for the Women's Rumble.
You know what was disappointing about the Women's Rumble? Ronda wasn't in it.
Yep.
Which, whatever. You think if she's going to come back, that would be the time. No Sasha Banks.
She was hurt.
And that Santino Marella shit, go fuck your hand.
Yeah, that was stupid.
What a waste of a fucking spot. I would have much rather seen somebody from NXT than that. I get it.
We got a lot of NXT.
They had nobody else.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Sure.
All right, so...
One question.
What's her nuts gets her head busted open on
Beth
the post
Phoenix.
While she was fighting with Charlotte. Did you notice after that, I think when Kelly was coming to the ring, Beth Phoenix had Charlotte over the ropes, and she was stomping the shit out of her. Like, I mean, she was going to town. I was like, whoa, Charlotte's got to got some good grip, or something's fucked up, because she was... Kicking the
gotta
shit
get that
out
receipt,
of her.
Son.
Holy fuck!
I didn't even realize
she
was busted open. I thought she had like red dye in her.
That's
hair.
What I
That's
thought.
That's
what
at I
first
thought
too. Yeah.
I actually went back to watch it today, and you could tell, like, yeah, when she's up against the post, it must have happened at some point when Kelly was coming out.
Yeah, but like today, like you didn't see any. I didn't. The only injury reports I heard were for Sasha and AJ Styles. I didn't see anything about Beth Phoenix.
Nah, I'm sure she's fine.
She's busted open.
Yeah, but you would normally mention that.
Why? She's not a full-timer?
She probably had to get stitches, though. Yeah, she is.
Bitch is getting stitches.
The fucking commentary. She's not a fucking wrestler.
Yeah, but you would normally... It would be something that I thought I would see today.
Can I stop dusting off Kelly for these fucking Royal
Rumbles? Oh, come on. It was cute.
From what I read today, she had to replace Sasha. That's the only reason why she was in the match.
She's fucking awful.
Oh, and on top of that, the one thing that came out of Santina that was cool, because Beth Phoenix was giving him shit, because they used to have their thing together. And Beth was like, oh, no, fuck you. And then he was like, okay, I'm leaving.
Do you think we get a Natty Beth match at WrestleMania because Beth threw Natty out?
Pre-show, maybe.
There's no reason to have.
Or
that
is
match.
There
with
like...
all due respect to both of them? There's no reason to have that. Match.
Oh, I agree. I think there's no reason to have any women's matches.
Do they still do the women's?
They're fucking terrible.
Do they still do the women's and men's battle royals like the Andre the Giant and the He Shall Not Be Named women's battle royal? Because then that would be the only place I would stick them and let them like have a blow off.
So we're gonna get. I know there's a pay-per-view after Royal Rumble, so what, we're getting Charlotte Becky again?
Of course.
Or Charlotte Bailey?
You know what, though?
Ronda Rousey could still come back.
She can.
We're getting Bork Lesnar and Claymore.
I'm okay with that.
I fucking loved the entire beginning and the ending of that Royal Rumble.
They set that up beautifully. Yeah. I was like...
And he's staring a hole in Lesnar after he eliminated him.
I wouldn't
fucking let it go.
I thought he'd eliminate Brock Lesnar. I did not think he would eliminate both Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
That was a big one.
That's huge.
So you strapped a huge rocket. You let everybody know that Brock Lesnar is still a beast, but in the same time, who's the guy that put him out and who's the guy that won?
And Claymore and Flanagan.
An awesome story. Like when it was when Kofi came out and Kofi made the 90 seconds. Then Ray was right after him. And then Big E. And then like some real like wrestling nerd shit, like when it was like Shinsuke against Brock. That was like that was a New Japan IWGP heavyweight championship.
They had mentioned that, didn't they?
I think they mentioned it was like in they didn't say at New Japan, but I think they said like this is like a Japanese feud.
Listen, I enjoyed even like the Shelton Benjamin stuff.
I thought that was great.
It was hilarious. Oh, fucking MVP comes out with the Black Panther outfit and fucking Brock is bobbing his head and shit.
So happy that MVP was there. That was a surprise I didn't.
It was a great surprise.
Eric Rowan, though, like, kind of fucking ate shit time.
Even that was kind of intriguing. I mean, it didn't end up the way, like, I thought it was going to be. But, like, every guy that came out, you're like, all right, is this going to be the guy that stalls Brock Lesnar from eliminating everybody? Was Eric Rowan number two?
Yeah, three? Number three.
Three. So I'm like, oh, wow, they're going to stop Brock's momentum already? Because they're behind Eric Rowan, too. But nope.
No, they did the Rumble justice, and Brock looked awesome.
He did.
Awesome, and even like that little weird story with Ricochet, where Ricochet like punched him in the fucking dick.
Well, fuck that, Keith Lee and Braun Strowman.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and did you see Brock go like, "Who the fuck is this?"
Yeah, but he was like, you could tell that he was like, "Oh my god, this guy's a freaking monster,"
and he sold it perfectly. Yeah.
Great Rumble.
Yeah, no, I think all the Brock haters out there, myself included, because I am not the biggest Brock Lesnar fan. He brought his fucking working shoes, man. He looked great.
Are you guys friends with Bucci on Facebook, Mike?
Sometimes I gotta tune him out because with the football and the nonsense.
With those guys. But he put something in. He's like, for all those people that like shit on Brock Lesnar as a worker, just look at how he got eliminated and the bump that he took and how perfect it was. You know, getting Claymore over, putting his hands to break his fall on the apron and then falling flat on his back. So Bucci put him over huge as a worker. I'm just saying it was good.
He should know. He's still doing great, right? I don't like Mike Bucci at all.
Okay.
I find him to be very obnoxious on Twitter.
You and Kenny Bolin.
I think he's fucking super opinionated. It's fucking
so is everybody on
it's
Facebook.
Nauseating. That's why I don't go on Facebook. But yeah, Brock fucking blew me out of the water, man. Blew me out of the water. He looked awesome.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed everything about Brock. I enjoyed everything about the order, the eliminations, everything.
Yeah, they did. Edge returning was awesome.
All right, let me ask you this. Being.
I think you know me.
That's
yeah, it's the old one. I can't find the new one because Matt jumped into it too fast, Kevin.
thoughts about the guy getting pyro.
God, I give him a pad, and Kevin's like, well, it's the wrong fucking music, Tony.
Pyro for the entrance.
I'm not again. I mean,
this
Edge.
Is me totally nitpicking.
You know why this music's important? Because Edge made his debut in WWE to this song, did he not?
Sure. Yeah.
And he hurt somebody in that debut too, didn't he?
Did he hurt AJ?
No, AJ overzealously sold the spear and he landed on his shoulder. It was completely AJ's fault. As opposed to Jose Estrada Jr., who fucking Edge kicked in the head doing his fucking senton to the outside.
Edge made his WWE debuted against
one of the
Barriqua.
Fucking Barriqua, yeah. And when he went, which wasn't his fault either, when he flipped over the top, the guy when he went to catch him caught Edge's leg across the top of his head and it broke his neck. That's why Edge
Wait,
won.
Jesus is.
Was it Jesus? It was Jorge Estrada? It was one of them. It was a Barriqua that wasn't Savio Vega or the really hairy one.
Miguel Perez Jr. is the hairy one.
Yeah, it wasn't Miguel Perez. It was
Jose Estrada sounds right. That's like a junior, right? Jose Estrada Jr.?
Was it?
And Jesus Carrillo? Jesus. There's a Jesus. Jesus looked like the most unathletic dude you've ever seen in your entire life. It was Miguel, Jose, Jesus.
It was Savio, Miguel, Jose Estrada Jr., and Jesus Castillo.
Whose neck did he break? So it's got to
Jesus,
have...
like, Google Jesus Castillo and look at him.
Oh, God. We just got to Google.
Just look at him. He doesn't look like a wrestler.
Hold on.
Especially when you put him in, like, high-waisted jeans with his goofy singlet underneath it.
As he was knocked out in a match with Edge in Edge's television debut on June 22nd, 1998 episode of Raw is War.
And
Jesus
who was
or
it?
Jose?
This was Jose Estrada Jr.
Yeah. He got counted out because he fucking broke his neck. Whoops.
Whoopsie doozies.
Yeah, neither one was Edge's fault, but I just thought it was a silly little thing that the fucking idiots on the internet were trying to make a big deal out of.
I'll tell you what, though. I loved that Barriquas and DOA debut when they kicked them out of the Nation. And then they start coming back, starting gang warfare.
You know what's cool, though? Right. I got my license, you know? Mostadas, Boricuas.
Gross.
I loved it. You hear the engines revving on the motorcycles.
So, but I mean, like, we had Claymore finish. We had Brock run the entire first half of the show. But the other two big things, it was Edge. And Seth Rollins came in, and all his boys fucking abandoned him, and everybody had a chance to tee off on him, which was cool. Well,
all his boys got beat up by Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, and Aleister Black.
And he's like, where are you going? Where's everybody? And then it was 4-on-1, and he got his shit kicked out of him, and it was perfect.
When you were watching it, were you wondering how long is this Brock domination going to go? Were you worried?
Of course.
Were you worried that it could be like 26 guys?
I didn't think they were going to. I was really calling for Cain Velasquez.
I was thinking they were going to pull some shit with that, too, but I'm glad that did not happen. The way it went off was perfect.
I mean, and tonight you'll see a whole lot of where they're going to go now. Obviously, it's going to be Drew and Brock, right?
That's what they're saying. They're saying it's going to be The Fiend and Roman.
Right, which is why we picked Roman to win the Rumble.
And then they say, I think, Orton and Edge.
Did you like the Daniel Bryan match?
It was okay.
I thought it was good, man. Daniel Bryan's a great underneath babyface and kept getting the crowd fired up.
Yeah,
every comeback.
You know, my only problem was the finish, that choke slam, mandible claw. Like, they made it seem like it was a lot worse
than it looked.
We grew up watching Mankind give the mandible claw to everybody. So
yeah.
What do you find more disturbing or more offensive, Bray Wyatt doing the mandible claw or Kevin Owens doing the stunner?
Owens doing the stunner.
Agreed, Tony.
I really don't care one way or another. You know how many people do stunners nowadays?
Yeah, but
how many
people
do stunners and cutters?
Cutters are different.
Well, I don't know if you saw, as an aside, Petey Williams apologized for the Canadian Destroyer over the weekend.
Becoming a
setup move?
Yeah, super kick.
Yeah, becoming the new super kick. Oh, shit.
Yeah, so, yeah, Kevin Owens doing the stunner always is just like, yeah. It's weird. Is there anybody else doing that other than super kick and Destroyer? Is anyone else doing old school finish that you know of off the top of your head?
I don't think so. I don't really think anyone has like a
super awesome finisher to
like a
replicate.
Set finisher?
Other than like, you know, Natty or someone doing the sharpshooter.
Yeah, she does the sharpshooter.
That's
we got
okay.
The F5.
The two of them did the heart attack during the Royal Rumble,
they
and they actually called it the heart attack this time.
Yeah, they did.
And your they girl, did it last time too, Tony.
And your girl Mercedes Martinez was in the Rumble.
Amazing. She's the best.
That was
big thanks
awesome
for that girl. That woman.
She actually had a nice little showing in that Rumble, too.
I continue to say I don't give a flying fuck about Liv Morgan or Lana.
Nope, me either.
Well, then, so you're not going to watch Raw when they have a match with Bobby Lashley and Rusev Bard from ringside?
Nope. Ooh, did you like Otis sneaking out from under the ring catching What's-Her-Face?
I mean, it was funny, but...
And then he caught her again, and then fucking What's-Her-Face.
Sonya Deville.
Yeah, fucked it all up for
him. We're going to Fire and Desire feud over Otis. Someone said, I think Otis is really dating her, too.
No, no chance.
Could be.
No chance.
Could be.
Yeah.
Why not?
There's no way. No.
Why? What if she likes his personality? What if he's got a fucking giant hog?
Hey, what if Otis has a fucking backhoe in that
right?
Fucking
what if he's like Ron Jeremy? He looks like a hedgehog, but boy. So he got a fucking hammer on him.
And if he didn't have such a belly, he'd probably even fucking be bigger.
Maybe she likes sitting on the belly.
There you go. Smacking that shit like a bongo.
Yeah, you never know.
Fuck me, Otis, fuck me.
Oh, boy. There you go. Get into it, Tony.
Get in there.
Tony,
would
you watch an Otis, Mandy Rose sex tape?
Kevin, I would watch anybody in a sex tape. I would watch the Kevin Garifo sex tapes, volume 1 through 100.
That is disturbing.
Wow, 1 through 100.
Yes.
That's a lot of sex tapes.
I would watch the Bowman videos 1 to 105.
Wow, I got 105.
Yeah,
nice.
I had to put you over a little bit more.
I appreciate it. Thank
you. Kevin's a looker. You need the help.
So it looks like going into Raw tonight, you're going to get like this weird Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe going after the tag titles tonight.
Against, I think they're fighting Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins.
The tag champions.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Ooh, new champs?
You texted us that last week, stupid.
What? No, if you think that they're going to win tonight.
I don't give a shit.
Samoa and Owens.
I don't care.
That's pretty good.
No, I like that.
The WWE has way too many titles.
The Kevin Samoan show.
Did you think Edge looked like the father from The Lion King?
I thought Edge looked amazing.
He's in great shape, but he just looks so old and tired in his face.
I mean, come on, he's no spring chicken.
He looks like the king at medieval times.
Oh, I'll take that. Well, he's on the fucking Viking show.
Yeah, he's got to keep his...
Welcome to medieval... All
right, Tony. I'd pop hard if he was the fucking king in medieval times. That'd be
really,
amazing.
It'd be really hard on his luck. If that's his new career. Hey, Edge, what do you want to do? You want to return to WWE or do you want the sweet gig in East or Lyndhurst, New Jersey?
You know what, dude? I might take the fucking king gig.
He only works like four nights a week, and I bet you get paid. It's expensive to go to medieval times.
There's yeah, no way cheap. Those guys make good money.
I bet you the king does.
No, I bet you they do okay for themselves.
You think?
I don't know if they make like... like six figures, but for working four nights a week where you just say like 15 lines, I'm sure they do okay for themselves.
And I had
yeah,
two,
but they all have to have like regulars, right?
Two
regular
friends
job?
Of mine that became knights and they love it. They love
I'm
it.
I'm not saying it's a bad gig. I'm not saying it's not enjoyable. Like it's like being like a Disney performer. Like you can't they don't make shit.
I don't know anything about Disney performers, so I can't comment on that.
Yeah, they do make a fucking pretty penny over there.
That's exactly the opposite of what I just said.
They're like the Macy's of the food services industry. You have to have a coupon to go there. If not, if you pay full price, you're out of your mind.
Or medieval times?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's dinner and entertainment.
It's like $70 though if you don't have a coupon.
It's a whole 70. Bird.
It's not that expensive.
When oh, yeah,
time,
it is.
When was the last time you went to medieval times?
I went.
Within the past 6 months?
Yeah, me too. It wasn't $70, I'll tell you that right
did
now.
Did you have a coupon?
No.
How did you go there and you didn't pay $70, you didn't have a coupon?
Wait, $70 just to get in?
Well, you get the meal and you get
the ticket and the show.
You get the one drink, the meal.
The Pepsi.
It's just a Pepsi?
It's a soda.
Well, you get pitchers of soda.
Soda or water. You got to pay for the alcoholic drinks.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's right.
But we went at for a work function once, and I don't remember. I mean, we didn't pay anything, but.
Well, that's fucking.
Other than for
I got
it
because I
fucking I got to be right about everything.
I don't have to be right, but suckers gots to know.
All right, Eddie, let us know.
Well, look up
really?
How much they make a year.
Yeah. Really?
I hate this fucking wrestling podcast. I hate wrestling. I'm miserable.
One adult, $64.95. Boosh.
It's not $70. It's closer to
oh,
60.
Fuck your hand.
70.
You want me to fucking calculate the tax and everything, yeah. Dickhead? Yeah.
Maybe you had a coupon.
You fucking bitch.
Why? Because I was right and you were
no,
wrong?
No, you weren't right. It's $65.
Fuck off.
It's not 70.
Oh, fuck
it's
off.
Not 70, Tony.
You
he's
win
right.
at Price is Right?
No. Yeah, oh, I didn't realize we were on fucking Price is Right
I
now.
Said 69. I would have won.
Jeez. Jordan Oliver's calling in the 8 o'clock hour.
That's right, he is.
We're live on the ranch, rantiumradio.com on a Monday night, of course, as usual, whatever. I don't
but
know.
I thought they did great with the Royal Rumbles. I'm a little, like, whatever with Charlotte. I just don't see the appeal of Charlotte versus Becky or Charlotte versus Bayley again.
Because and, she's Ric Flair Jr., that's why.
Like, I get that she hasn't won the Rumble before. Kerry Sane can go fuck herself, by the way. I hate the fucking pirate.
She's not a pirate.
She came
anymore.
Down with an umbrella.
How do you yeah. say R in Japanese, Tony?
R?
I heard...
good times.
I heard there's a little rumbling in NXT Io Shirai. She's cutting all her promos in Japanese, but she's saying, like, super filthy shit because nobody knows what it means.
That's awesome. Doesn't she want to go back to stardom or
that's
something like
exactly
that?
What I was
does she?
Say.
I don't blame
well,
her.
And they were thinking about bringing her up because the threat of her going back to stardom.
Saying filthy shit. That's
I like
awesome.
Io Shirai.
That's awesome. Who's the other one from China?
Xing Zhang?
They don't do a lot with her, huh?
She was in the Rumble. She threw some ninja kicks.
Yeah, but she was in the Rumble last year. And then, like, has she done anything in between?
When was the last time you watched NXT?
Worlds Collide over the weekend?
Because she's on NXT like every other week.
Okay, well, there you go.
What's she doing in NXT?
Nothing.
Wrestling?
Yeah, but like, what's her...
She's
she
losing
like, a storyline?
No,
or
no,
she
no
just,
big
like,
story. She's just there.
Getting fucking jobbed out to stupid Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green.
You
amazing.
Don't like Chelsea Green either?
No, she fucking
Who's
sucks.
Who's the guy that she's with?
Zach
it's Robbie
Ryder.
E, stupid.
What?
It's Robbie E.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him. I didn't know.
Yeah, he's like,
What is it? The cucky of the
no, he's not a cuckold.
How many cuckold stories
he's,
are
he's not a
have?
Cuckold story. He's like
Jesus.
He's the manager.
He's like wrestling.
It's Robert Stone Enterprises. Yeah. Or some shit like
he's
that.
Like how, Tony Khan.
There and how come Bobby Lashley and Rusev weren't in a Royal Rumble?
They
thing?
Got in a brawl and they were both not able to compete. They said it last night.
That is so dumb. That is so dumb.
Tony, they had a lot of good guys in that Rumble.
But their hottest storyline, they don't even give them a sniff at a match?
No. You know, my other if I'm nitpicking the Rumble, having Gallows and Anderson in there bothered me too.
That was a little bizarre. Maybe just because of AJ, maybe?
There, supposedly, if you take the rumor and innuendo, there was supposed to be some stuff with AJ. Like,
did you just make that up?
Working? Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
But apparently when AJ quickly got eliminated because he was hurt, and Gallows and Anderson kind of looked around like, I guess plan B.
Uh-huh.
So there might have been something else that was going on with the three of them.
Okay.
But not like it mattered.
No, I think it worked out fine.
I'm trying to think, what could they have done, and with whom in terms
Who
of like
knows? Maybe it was a three. Maybe it was going to be a three.
Yeah, like three
situation.
Against like Orton and Edge.
That's what I want. I want to see Edge versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania.
Dream match.
I kind of want to see Edge and Orton go at it.
Well, Edge is going to be on Raw tonight, and he's back on the WWE.com page. So
it was so great though when Orton was going to sneak up on Edge, and he turned around, and Orton just popped his head up, and he's like, "What?" And then Edge got rid of him, and Orton's on the outside looking up. He's like, "All right," and he just walks away.
So I've been around. I've been in this game longer than you have. I loved it. I fucking loved the Edge thing. It was awesome.
And you weren't necessarily the biggest fan of him coming back not too long ago.
I mean, I'm.
So is his neck fine? Is he okay?
I
like,
don't know.
Someone, they cleared him, so.
9 years, though, dude.
It's
nine
a long time.
Years.
It's a long
time.
And
where does this
time.
Leave Christian? Is Christian coming back now?
He's sitting on the fucking panel with fucking primetime Sam Roberts and fucking David Otunga.
So what do you guys think of Royal Rumble?
It was great. Thanks, Christian.
Bunga.
Go back to doing your fucking show on the network.
The network?
The network.
Oh, boy. Great. What do you give it?
I'll give it a B. I really didn't like the Lacey match. The Fiend was whatever. I'm glad they didn't do it in red.
I think I liked it more than you did. I liked it a lot
good.
More.
And I was thinking it would be a traditional strap match where you have to touch all four posts. But apparently,
thank
it wasn't.
God it wasn't.
That's
thank
the best.
God. I hate the four corners nonsense.
Why? You could have had like Daniel Bryan could have like been losing, and then someone could have come out to save him, and then the Fiend could have beat him like Hogan beat.
That's exactly
Vader.
What. Exactly.
See, I hate the original strap. I hate the four corner stuff, but I also hate that you're having a strap match and it's not the four corner stuff. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's like
then you just kind of hate strap matches.
Right. I guess so. I guess. But this is not a strap match to me. I would rather them done the four corner stuff and call it a strap match than do this and it not being a strap.
They had some innovative stuff.
Sure, but it's not. It's just a match with a strap then.
So I was fine with it. Oh, and they had the $6,000 belt that the Fiend was holding up.
Yeah, they did.
Did you buy that yet, Tony?
Hell no. Hell
just
no.
Strictly European?
And apparently European. Apparently, the power's in the mask. I thought I had read somewhere if the mask comes off, it's just going to be Bray Wyatt, not the Fiend.
What?
So that might be a kind of thing, like a Lucha kind of thing.
Oh, like the Undertaker's urn?
Sort of, yeah.
Like if he doesn't have the mask, he doesn't have the Fiend powers?
Yeah.
I figured it'd be the Lantern.
Oh, I would think it's the mask. Because he already wrestles as Bray Wyatt as well.
But right, he came out last night as the Fiend Bray Wyatt.
Right. But so how do you do that in the middle of the match? Like, how do you...
Take his mask off the same way Andrade keeps taking off Rey Mysterio's mask.
But then,
like... tie that fucking shit tighter.
But then, like, how do you go back to being, like, regular Bray Wyatt?
Then you don't. Well, then, I mean, at least you don't be the Fiend anymore, right?
I don't know.
Maybe Bray Wyatt gets the mask removed and he cowers. He's afraid. I don't know. Maybe he has a seizure. Who knows?
It becomes a one-off thing like the Demon.
I don't know.
Well, it's kind of what it is now. Not one-off thing, but he wrestled The Miz as Bray Wyatt.
I'm sure that was exciting.
Well, he also wrestled Daniel Bryan as Bray Wyatt, didn't he?
No, I think it was just The Miz.
Oh, maybe it
was. I think. I could be wrong, but I thought his only match that he wrestled as Bray Wyatt at a pay-per-view or network was against The Miz.
I was going to go a little higher, but I think B's about right. I would maybe edge on B+. No pun intended.
No, I liked the Women's Rumble was okay. Like I said, I would have liked a Ronda surprise. I thought that was been the perfect time.
I feel like how you grade this show is essentially just on the Rumbles. So if you like both Rumbles, you got to give it a high grade. To me, it's a Rumble.
I mean, there was more to I liked the Becky and the Asuka match. So, I really was hoping they would do the Ospreay Bushi gimmick. Where Asuka went to spit the mist and Becky like put her mouth over it and took the mist from her and spit it in her
ooh,
face.
Ooh, like a kiss?
I got
I thought of it too. Pervert. I thought of it too.
Come on, pervert.
But
what
it would have been a great way for like to have Asuka's like
I say.
And what the here's my only problem. What the fuck was Carrie Same doing at ringside where she couldn't reach and grab Asuka's leg and put it on the fucking rope when she was in the disarmer. She was right there. What's the point of her being at ringside for the whole match if she's not going to get involved?
Maybe she's a good pirate. Yeah. Maybe her pirate morals.
She's
got
a fucking
in the way.
Heel.
She's a heel.
Heel wrestler.
Then there was no good point pirate. Of her being out there if she didn't get involved. It's fucking stupid. That pissed me off too. And people going to the top rope. I said that before. It Ooh. Really bothered me.
Becky Lynch should have took it in her mouth and then swallowed it, and then she could say, like, have a shirt that says "The Man Swallows."
All right.
I don't know if that's really PG.
Who cares?
I think that's where they want to go.
Oh well, whatever.
But like, it's not the first time in a Rumble that someone's gone to the top.
Oh, I know. It bothers me every time. Okay, like right. Every time makes zero sense.
It doesn't like Ric Flair. Every now and then go and do his traditional spot where he runs up to the top.
Stupid.
And, yeah,
stupid. HBK works. Does it where he flips over and he comes back. But that was the Rumble. I enjoyed it. I had people over the house, and it was fun.
Did you order a sub?
I ordered 3 pizzas.
Oh, good for you.
And
Did you make them?
Danny from the AOP brought cupcakes and cookies.
Ooh.
Anthony, he brought some vegan shit because he's a vegan now. So I mocked him for most of the night.
Nice.
Yeah, and Kate the Great was there, Ryan Arthur. It was a good time.
Awesome.
Yeah, had a good time.
Did you eat any of the vegan stuff?
No.
Did anyone else other than Anthony?
He bought stuff for himself.
Did he bring it in a garbage bag?
No, he brought it in a Wegmans bag.
Oh.
He had a lot of berries and a salad and some more shit that you rub on your mangina when you decide to be a vegan.
Okay, terrific.
I mean, he's doing well. He lost like 14 pounds and he feels great and he looks good. I just, you know, could never do that because I like
meat
and stuff.
I've heard different stories of people trying vegan or like who've been vegan and then had meat and are like, I feel like so much better having like meat, and then the other way around too. Like,
right. Well, if you follow Joe Rogan on Instagram, he's doing an all meat diet, and he daily has to fear the fact that he's going to shit his pants because he's just eating meat and there's no fiber to stop it from falling out of his asshole. So he
is that? Oh, I thought fiber helps you poop.
Yeah.
No, but fiber thickens you up.
Right. He doesn't have any fiber because he's just eating meat, so he's constantly on the verge of shitting his pants all the time.
It's
quite entertaining if you follow the Joe Rogan on the Instagram.
He doesn't wear a diaper?
I don't know if it's reached that stage yet. That's a great question, Kevin. I'll have to look into that.
I know. I'm just saying, because if you were that seriously worried about it, I feel like it'd be better safe than sorry.
I mean, I'm worried about it all the time.
Yeah, fair.
You know, you could want to fart, and then you could shart.
So don't fart.
How can you not
sometimes
fart?
It feels good to fart. It's just healthy. Like it feels good to sneeze.
You gotta get that bad energy out of you.
Okay, that was the Royal Rumble.
That's just science.
Totally. Yeah, that was the Royal Rumble. I enjoyed it. I like I said, I enjoyed the pay-per-views. I won't go back to watching Raw and SmackDown.
You don't want to see Edge tonight?
No, I'll see it on like Facebook and like a WWE like 1 minute clip, and I'll be like, wow, this was so worth me not spending 2 hours and 59 minutes watching this.
You want to talk Worlds Collide?
Do you want to talk Worlds Collide? Or I didn't watch Worlds Collide.
I didn't watch it either. Did Kevin watch it?
I watched it.
Kevin did watch it. I saw Alexander
Wolf. Was it super
Wolf.
Fun?
I saw Alexander Wolf got knocked the fuck out.
I missed that part because 1 second I'm watching and the next second he's not there. So I didn't see that.
Took like an errant knee to the head from Bobby Fish or Kyle O'Reilly when they did like dual kicks. And it fucking, Drake was the ref and he counted 1-2.
Drizzy Drake?
And he went for, you know, he's supposed to kick out, and he didn't kick out, and he didn't count to 3, and then he threw up the X.
I missed that.
And they got him out of there.
But I did notice, I think, when I checked in, there was, like, they were doing, like, the stare down, and it was only the 3 of the Imperium guys and the 4 of the Undisputed Era guys, and it was just a big fucking brawl, but Wolf wasn't there. So I was like, where did he go? But to me, the show was about one match to me.
Kevin, who wasn't there?
Wolf.
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 Yeah.
Alexander okay. Wolf.
Come on, man! You're the king of the soundboard!
No.
You're the fucking worst.
To me, the only thing about the show I was super looking forward to that was super fun was DIY versus Mustache Mountain.
Did it live up to the hype?
Ah, it was awesome.
23 minutes of excitement?
I don't know how long it was, but I'll take your word for it.
That was like 22 and change, yeah. I think.
How about that Ivan Jakimov?
I like it. How to Train Your Dragon Off? I like that. That dude's good. He reminds me of like little Lars Sullivan and Pete Dunne combined to me. And that was fun. Super fun, Tony. The DIY versus Mustache Mountain was the match for me.
And that was the match that gave Kevin the edge at Worlds Collide.
You think you know him.
You guys both picked.
We both took Mustache Mountain. Tony took fucking Dragon Boy.
I needed wins.
You got Imperium, though.
I know I did. I needed wins.
And we got a new Cruiserweight champion.
Didn't see that one.
Jordan Devlin.
But I'm a big Jordan Devlin. And I'm also a big Travis Banks guy, too.
How do you feel about the new strap?
I love it.
Busted out another new fucking title belt.
Give her that stupid purple fucking grape soda bullshit.
What are you looking at me for?
You're a belt guy.
Ready? Ready?
What?
Because what do they call the WWE NXT Women's Championship now?
Oh, I know. It's the WWE NXT Championship.
How do you feel about that?
Close.
You know what? Whatever, dude.
Really?
Whatever.
Really?
I don't fucking care anymore. I really don't fucking care. This is what I
drink for this conversation.
There you go. I shit on everything. What do you say, Vampiro? Wow. Vampiro shit all over Sting this weekend too.
See, Vampiro farts.
Did he really?
Oh yeah.
For what? What did Sting do?
Sting apparently gave him shit because he wanted to be the guy that painted his face, and he's like, "Bro, I've been painting my face long before you came along. Weren't you a fucking Blade Runner that you ripped off a movie that you fucking wanted to?"
Wait. Vampiro was painting his face before Sting?
Yeah.
How old is Vampiro? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I think that's dementia setting in on Vampiro.
No way that Vampiro was wrestling before Sting was a Blade Runner.
I think this was more of the Crow shit than it was like the Sting face paint. I think it was more of the Crow look that he
was. But when Vampiro debuted in WCW, he wasn't painting his face. He only started painting his face, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
You're arguing with the messenger. I could give less of a shit about Vampiro painting his face than I can him shitting at ringside at CMLL. So, whatever.
All right, Vampiro is 52.
Yeah. And how old
is
Sting?
And Stinger is 60.
Okay.
Who started wrestling first?
I would say Vampiro, probably.
Vampiro has a year on the Stinger.
Told you.
All right.
Started in 84. Stinger started in 85.
Wow. Yep.
That makes sense.
Now, who's painting their face first? Beyond me.
Well, Sting must have started painting his face right when he teamed with Warrior, right?
He's painting his face with Warrior's hog.
All right.
Tony with the one step too far.
What else with Rhea Ripley beat Tony Storm?
Yay!
Tony Storm fan.
And Kylie Rae beat Mia Yim.
Kaylee Ray.
Whatever.
Kylie Rae.
They're all the fucking same to me.
Kylie Smiley?
I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I had Mia Yim winning that only because I thought that they would keep Kaylee, get a match on NXT, and then Kaylee Rae would beat her on NXT. So I went with Mia Yim.
Yeah, that didn't work out so much. Oh, so then I had that wrong. I don't know why I had you as Kylie Rae.
Who, me?
Yeah.
So does that affect anything?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
It doesn't, Kevin.
Wow.
I
can only imagine how bad the other 51 weeks were. Yikes.
I ate a giant shit sandwich at NWA Hard Times. Giant.
Hard Times.
Tony, how was that show?
Fucking awesome.
Super fun?
Super fun, happy slide. Awesome show. First of all, we still don't know why fucking Big Belly Anderson didn't show up. Rumor and innuendo is that he was hurt. That's what they said on the show, but might have been a little Billy Corgan pissed off that Ken Anderson announced that he was working the TNA reunion coming up, whatever that is.
WrestleMania weekend.
Yes.
So Corgan is, in what weekend?
WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Corgan made an announcement a couple of weeks back where he's willing and able and wants to work with everybody and anybody except for Impact Wrestling because, you know, the whole fucking thing where he had to sue them and whatnot.
Is NWA running that weekend?
No, it doesn't matter. It was for the pay-per-view this week, for this past week. So, you know,
Billy Corgan has talent under the NWA banner that he would like to work elsewhere with. Except for Impact.
Yeah.
So when Ken Anderson shows up on the Impact TNA show WrestleMania weekend as part of the Aces and Eights reunion.
With D'Lo Brown, the two cornerstones.
Billy Corgan.
Of Aces and Eights.
Or the only two available guys.
Billy Corgan may or may not have been like, yeah, we're going to take you out of this pay-per-view and say you're hurt.
Well, that all depends on if he has the right to do that. Who knows what their contract is or whatever.
But I'm sure Billy Corgan's anal enough to put that in contracts.
Well, there was talks that Melina was going to be at the Rumble.
Yeah, it was all talks.
Yeah, because I heard Sting was going to be at the Rumble, too.
Sting.
Yeah, but Sting could have been.
Sting got stung.
Like, in terms of, like, I'm talking about if Do you think Billy Corgan would have been okay if Melina was in the Rumble?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Again, the only company Billy Corgan allegedly has a problem with is Impact.
Yeah, the company that he wound up having to sue.
Yes.
So there you go.
So if any of his people showed up anywhere else, he'd be okay with that. But he does not want them going to Impact.
This is all just rumor. None of this has come out. This was just a whole lot of speculation. Because it was just kind of weird that day of, after he'd been promoting it on social media that he was going to be in the tournament, that all of a sudden he's not there. Which is interesting to me because I wonder what would have happened with Tim Storm in that first round.
I think Storm would have won.
That's what I went with. No, you guys both picked Ken Anderson, didn't you?
No. I picked Tim Storm.
I don't even remember. The sheet ski here. Hold on.
It doesn't matter anyway.
Sure.
I definitely picked Tim Storm.
Or maybe I picked Ken Anderson. I think I did pick Ken Anderson. Maybe I did.
Mr. Anderson.
Oh, whatever. Fucking Allison Kay and Thunder Rosa. They had a couple of misfires here and there, but overall they beat the shit out of each other. It was a great match. Great match. Flippity Doodah and Nick Aldis, great match. Nick Aldis, after fucking Flippity Doo goes for the victory roll and Aldis just sits down in that Bret Hart, Owen Hart pin, it was perfect. Perfect. And now he gets to call all the shots because Marty Scurll showed up and he was like, all right, you know what? I'll give Flip a title shot, which became a title match. He said, but if I win, I get to call all the shots from now on, anything that involves the NWA. And so now we don't know what's going to happen next. Is he going to face Marty Scurll? We don't know. You know what I'm saying?
So he can decide whether or not he wants
to. He decides anything he wants. If he wants to wrestle, what the stips are, everything, where it's going to be. It's all in his control now.
They're definitely doing that match.
Oh, of course they are.
Me and Kevin took Tim Storm. You, Tony, I took Ken Anderson. But it was a no contest. So
yeah,
you and Kevin went 6-4 at NWA Hard Times. I went an astounding 3-7.
Yep.
You want to talk about eating a bowl of dicks?
I did tell you Ricky Starks was going to win. However, I thought it was going to be against a question mark. I was very surprised. Pleasantly so, that Trevor Murdoch managed to run to the finals as well.
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff on that NWA Power episode the Tuesday before.
It was a fucking packed
episode.
Which
is why I picked Zicky Dice to beat Danny Moff. I thought he would finagle his way to the second round. He was clearly wrong. Trevor Murdoch beating Thomas Lattimore without getting a single move in was fascinating.
That was good stuff, right?
It was awesome. Ricky Starks being one of the karate people helping do the karate demonstration was fun.
See that fucking whack?
He fucking beat the shit out of him with that. I really was surprised with the Allison Kay Thunder Rosa result.
You know, I was too. I really thought that Allison Kay was going to pull one out here because now where does that put Melina? Melina was like, no, before you get to me, you have to get to Thunder Rosa. And then
now you have a Thunder Rosa Melina feud.
Right. And what's the best time to turn a heel?
When she's super hot. Right.
Yeah, but then where does that leave Allison Kay?
Gives a shit. She's on NWA Girl Power or whatever that fucking other show
is. She'll be at the TNA reunion show.
Fair enough. She is eligible.
I enjoy the Thunder Rosa more than the Allison Kay.
I do like Allison Kay, though. I will say that.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong, though. Like, they beat the shit out of each other. Thunder Rosa is amazing. Amazing.
She got over way more than I thought she ever would in NWA. So they had to me. They had to do it. So,
and you know what else I'm amazed about? People on the fucking NWA Facebook page all up in arms now, fucking all excited, and some people wondering that Sean Mooney's part of the broadcast team, or if these motherfuckers would have been paying attention last week, we broke that fucking news.
We did.
Yeah, but then he wasn't on the show the next day.
Right, but he was there for the TV tapings, and he announced it today that he's part of the TV tapings.
So I kind of like... This is, I guess, breaking down the fourth wall. I started to write on that, I think it was Wednesday. Or no, I think it was Tuesday. I started to write the press release. And the main quote...
I just love that you're pantomiming typing while you're saying I started to write. That was awesome.
Because I had a free moment at work. Because we just wanted one quote. And the quote that I thought was, the big one was, he's going to be on our show this week. And then he wasn't on the show this week.
I mean, technically, he was on the show this week, just not what we've seen yet, if he was in studio to tape.
So he was on, all right. So, I don't know. I was like, I had no idea what was going to happen after that. But does it bother you that Sean Mooney was never in the actual NWA?
No.
No?
No. All right. Just wondering.
No.
I thought it was awesome that they announced Moff and Matt Cross as the participants.
Cross had a great match.
I thought
Mox
would go to the finals in that.
No.
I did. I really did.
I did like that Moff won the first round, and he beat the shit out of Trevor Murdoch, too. Trevor Murdoch's chest looked like fucking chopped liver after that match. He took a beating.
And you said Starks and Storm was really good, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he wound up fucking Storms. Storms gave him the perfect storm at one point, and as he went for the cover, he rolled off. I don't know if he was anticipating Ricky to kick out at that point or just kind of blow him off. Bless you.
Bless you.
But then later on, he went for it again.
Salute.
And, like, he was turning Ricky around, and Ricky hooked him and took him over in a crucifix and got the pin.
Oh, mama.
Jeez, are you fucking allergic to Tim Storm?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Excuse me again.
One other tea?
Pardon me. My apologies.
And the final match between Starks and Murdoch. Great fucking match.
And that closed the show, right?
Yeah, that was the main event, yeah. And there was no time limit, which is weird, but it's a necessary evil because...
You have to have a champion.
Yeah. But on top of that, early on in the pay-per-view, I texted you guys. They said that if a match goes the time limit draw, it was going to be Stu Bennett...
Judges, yeah.
Billy Corgan and the referee all deciding who gets to go on.
Did they make...
They never did it.
They never made another announcement saying we're going to let this go, no judges? Did they ever do that?
For the main event, when what's-his-name got in the ring...
Marquez.
He said, this is your final to crown the NWA television champion. There is no time limit for this match.
All
so
right.
That was it. They were ready to go. It only went about 9-10 minutes, so it was only a little further than what the time limit would have been anyway. But still, hell of a match. Great show. Did I like it more than Into the Fire? No, but I liked it a hell of a lot. I'd give it an A-minus easy, if not an A.
And they announced the Crockett Cup in 2020,
yes,
right?
Yes, April 2020, Crockett Cup. Maybe Mania Weekend? I don't know.
And they're done with tapings now up until then, I think.
Right, they taped all this weekend, right?
Yeah, so they should be starting to air tomorrow, right?
Yes, you'll see the first taping.
It took a lot. Jesus,
holy shit!
It's like the littlest things that make me laugh so hard, and the fact that you acknowledged it was so perfect. It's like, why was that so hard for me to say? The first taping.
How did Big Papa Pump look against Aaron Stevens?
This was he's very slow. He could still throw a suplex, and I think it helps that Aaron Stevens is a little limber on his feet.
How are those studio lights on that bald chrome dome?
Somebody said it. He looks like God, his name is escaping me.
Billy Graham?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, wow.
He's looking like a thinner Billy Graham at this point.
Well, he's always kind of had that Billy Graham.
Yeah, but it's kind of like when Billy Graham was like...
The karate?
Not that bad, but yes, he was like...
Karate Graham?
He was like 0.7 Billy Graham.
Karate
that
Graham.
Makes sense.
Imagine that was an SNL skit. It was like, Karate Graham. And then Chevy Chase opens the door, and it's fucking superstar Billy Graham in his karate gi just chopping you.
Yeah, but we should have called that was going to be a DQ.
Yeah, and we all went the right way in the Rock and Roll Express losing, but we picked the wrong team.
Oh, that's the one that I want to take back.
You know what's funny? Camille stuck her heel in Ricky Morton's eye, and I don't know which eye it was. Maybe it was the good one.
Good old hoot.
So Ricky Morton was out for a while, and it was just the wild cards and whatchamacallit. And,
Drake and Storm?
Yes. And it was just the two of them. And then eventually Ricky Morton got in and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, they wound up being down while the pin was made, so they didn't affect the finish. But, yeah, I was kind of surprised with the team that won, to be honest with you.
And you said, going back to Aaron Stevens, Scott Steiner, you said Aaron Stevens left the question mark in the Steiner recliner.
Yes, yes, he did. He walked out on
him.
And there was no Aaron Stevens helping out in the first round of the title tournament. And here's the funny thing.
Well, he's the master.
But here's the funny thing, though, right?
So
that's right.
Trevor Murdoch gives him the bulldog off the gives question mark the bulldog.
I'm sorry, the what?
The bulldog.
The bulldog?
Did I say bulldog? I
said bulldog. Know.
All right. So he gave him the bulldog. And then
just having fun, people.
Fucking question mark pops up like the Undertaker. It was like, holy shit. And then when he hit the second bulldog, that was it. That's how he got the 3 count.
Now.
But it was kind of cool.
Going back to Tuesday night's episode of NWA Power.
Uh-oh.
We did see an appearance by Josephus.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
He's back.
So does that eliminate the theory?
Will
that
we
Josephus...
ever see him in the question mark in the same room?
Why wouldn't you? Share a locker room.
I have my suspicions.
About what? What are you trying to say?
I think maybe Josephus may be pretending to
be careful.
Mongrovian.
Careful what you're saying.
Wait, why? Why are you?
Josephus cannot be Mongrovian.
Are you
he's
sure?
Not, he's not Mongrovian.
How do you know that?
Because he's not, Kevin. Do some research on Josephus. Where's Josephus from? Let me pull up Josephus' Wikipedia.
You know, anyone could put stuff on Wikipedia.
Ah, shut up. Josephus the wrestler. Here we go.
I hope it says that he is also.
He's American. He's American born. He's from America.
And where is Mongrovia?
Is he fighting out of Mongrovia?
Mongrovia is not America.
Where is it?
Is Aaron Stevens from Mongrovia? No.
Is it in the same section of the world as Parts Unknown?
No, it's Mongrovia.
It could be a suburb of Phoenix. We don't know
that. A suburb?
A suburb.
Is that a town near Sesame Street where all the Grovers live?
That's it.
How dare you insult the greatness that is the question mark?
I'm not insulting. I just have a lot of questions. Well, questions for the question mark.
Well, there you go.
There's nothing wrong with extra questions.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. If you guys get a chance, check it out.
Yeah, I want to check it out hardcore.
Check it out.
Check it out. So
we got a lot more to cover, actually.
We do have a lot more to cover, but I feel like we should just get this out of the way before we take a break and before Joe or Oliver calls us.
What's he going to call us? Losers?
Maybe. It's very possible.
I mean, he wouldn't be wrong.
So with Kevin going 6-4 at hard times and Tony going 6-4 and me eating a mega-sized shit sandwich, Kevin rightfully claimed the throne as the Shining Wizards 2019 Kings of the Picks champion.
Le champion.
And then me and Tony struggled to battle each other at Worlds Collide, and Tony came in fucking last place. You want to know why?
Why?
Because you're a fucking loser. Yeah.
It's time to celebrate. You're
so
right.
Kevin ended the year at 250 and 140.
Wow. That's a great record.
Tony ended the year 243 and 147.
Yay!
And I ended the year at 245 and 145.
Hey.
Would you like to look at this?
Sure.
All right. So I broke it down by promotions.
What a grab that was.
We did 48 shows last year.
Oh, great.
If you want to look at it.
That's double the amount of... never mind.
I'll tell you where. Kevin had the best total in AEW, where he won an astounding 34-9.
Wow, you did a lot of work
over
here.
Their 5 pay-per-views. He also had a good New Japan run at 36-25.
Tony, there might be a new Japan expert.
Sounds like it. I surprisingly had the best WWE record at 91-40.
But I was right behind you.
The irony.
You were 8 games behind me in just the WWE. Not NXT, just WWE.
I was 8 games behind you in WWE.
You had the lowest total in WWE.
Because I tried to get cute a lot, I think.
And I forgot I had a perfect score at Fastlane. I went 8-0.
I had a winning record for every single Ring of Honor pay-per-view. I went 35-14.
Yeah, that's you had a strong show. You ate shit in AEW, though.
Oh, AEW can eat a bag of dicks as far
you
as
were
I'm
a game.
Wow, did you not watch Bash at the Beach part? Duh.
You were game under 500.
Whoop-de-fucking-do. Do-do-do-do.
I am
an NWA expert.
Did I have the 8-0 at Full Gear? Is that me?
Yes. Yes, you're in the middle, Kevin.
And that was the only perfect score
no,
I got.
No, you
right?
went Power Struggle 9-0, too.
Did you guys have more than one perfect game?
Tony had two.
I had 11-0
Clash of the Champions.
Clash of Champions and 17th anniversary.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Even to have one is really impressive.
Oh, and this Impact thing got all fucked up down here. Damn it. Sorry, it's just not all lined up evenly.
Well, I lost 3 out of the 5 AEW pay-per-views. Like
you had terrible showing at AEW.
Fuck AEW anyway. Fuck them and their champion champagne. Fucking cocksmokers. Fucking idiots.
Jesus, that La Champagne got you all hammered on New Year's Eve. And he took
it. Yeah, because I was the only one that wanted to drink it.
I'm just saving. I probably will drink it.
No, you're never going to drink it.
It's
not going to be a collector's item. Jericho's champagne is never going to be a collector's item.
If this is the last contract that they have with TNT, and it's no more, in 3 years or 4 years, people will be pining over La Champagne's little bit of the bubbly.
I don't know! I really doubt it, Lex.
Yeah, you're probably right. But, like, why would you want to... Like, I could go to the, you know, to the liquor store and get a bottle of champagne. Why would I want to drink Le Bubbly?
Why not? Mine for a special
I got
season.
Some action on social media, passed out drinking the bubbly with my 2020 vision.
You did, because you're woke.
Yeah, you made it.
Fucking A.
Not in that picture.
Yeah. Yeah, celebrate. Right. Na, na, na,
so, yeah, Kevin won the year, and we've already started off 2020.
Oh, yeah, fucking wonderful.
Kevin and Tony went 5-3 at the Rumble. I went 4-4. I made some costly decisions, thinking Daniel Bryan and Lacey Evans would win.
Well, I'm gonna enjoy being in the lead now, because this is gonna be probably the last time I'm in the lead for fucking year two. Well, and who gives a fucking rat's ass?
Tied for the lead.
Shut your hole. Matt's dying.
Let's not get crazy over here.
Kevin, have you decided our punishment yet?
Can I have some breaking news?
Yeah.
You know how doing stuff like this makes me extremely uncomfortable, right?
Like gloating or making us suffer?
Both.
Oh, okay, good.
So what I'm going to do...
Uh-oh.
All right.
It's going to make us kiss.
I'm not kissing you.
All right, so Tony, you could either give me all of your action figures.
Wow.
Your LJNs.
Wow. What?
Or sell them to me at a reasonable price. And Matt, you could do the same. Or...
I fucking gave you a bin of Jacks.
This was just a prelude to what I'm really suggesting.
Okay.
You guys have to pick each other's punishment.
Ooh, I kind of like this.
Okay.
I kind of like this.
I can't do it.
That's fine.
We could think about that. We got a lot more to think about. Jordan Oliver's joining us shortly on the hotline. And we've got MLW to talk about,
yes,
actually,
we do.
Too. We got a lot of cool
and
stuff
going on.
And
some AEW to talk about from the boat.
Please tell me.
The crowd singing Jericho's theme song. Oh, that didn't give you goosebumps? All right, fuck it.
What do we always say?
Back after this, you jerks.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at Inconclusive Pod or Facebook.com/Inconclusive Breakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
You think you know me, Emily? You think you know me?
Don't worry. No, leave it. We'll close the show with
one. Good call.
We'll get there eventually.
Completely missed it. We want to take a minute to thank those that support us over on our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. If you enjoy what you're listening to, you enjoy our guests, you enjoy our show, thank you, Kevin. You enjoy our banter. You just enjoy what we do. Please head over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And for as little as $1 a month, you can support the show.
$1, people!
There's several different tiers. They're not crazy expensive. And every tier gives you additional perks that we think you'll enjoy. Watch-alongs, boxes of wizardry. We plug your stuff on the show every week. So definitely, if you enjoy what you're listening to, please go over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. With that being said, we want to shout out to the queen of the Shining Wizards, Kathy Hummer. The king of the Shining Wizards, Mr. Manuel Crockville. The Smoke Show, Cindy Ardone.
Smokey.
AOP, Danny and Anthony Russinello.
Yeah.
Mike Martinelli.
Mikey.
Ryan Arthur from alimentary.com. That's with an A. alimentary.com. Great local brewery here in Hackensack, New Jersey. Check them out, alimentary.com.
Elementary Brewing Company.
Sean Callejo. We did get your message, and I do know who you are, so you don't have to preface your Facebook messages by, I don't know if you guys know who I am.
We know who you are.
Who's that? Who does that? Sean Callejo sent us a message. She wanted to help with the spreadsheet for the picks, but I had already taken care of it. But we appreciate you reaching out, and I should get back to you because that's a dick thing.
Fucking cockhead.
Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Kate the Great Hensler at ondeckic.com.
Big shout out to Kate the Great rocking the gear at the Jericho Cruise.
That's right. She was the Matt Kevin Tony Wizard shirt. She's the new AEW champion, and she might be Dave Meltzer's new girlfriend. Inside joke there.
Fuck Dave Meltzer.
Exactly. She might. Matt Garifo, no relation to KJG.
Never.
Matt Mellinger, who sends us our wrestling roundup every week. Great thanks to Matt. Kenny Hossie, Scotch Drinksmore on the old Twitter machine, who now hates Kevin.
No, he hates me. Hates Tony. I don't understand what that's all about.
He turned on. He's a fan of mine now, apparently.
Yeah, he turned on you like you turn on, like people turn on you. You know how all the guys turn
on
you.
It is what it is.
Corrine Jansen from loudandfierce.com.
The metal chick.
That's right. If you're into heavy metal and hot chicks, check her out.
Radioactive metal.
Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock.
Motty Spocky.
Benjamin Martinez.
The ultimate warrior.
Big Papa. Big Coppa Pump, Jay Cop.
The star of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yes, apparently. Danny Douglas from DeathmatchOutlaws.com.
What's up, Danny?
Christine Friesendorf.
Friesenhagen.
New Patreon supporter, Mark Paroloni.
What's up, right? Mark? Marky Mark.
Mark's a follower on our Twitter, and he likes the show, and he's a big supporter. He's a
long-time
fan. Mark.
He's been around since, like, the jump.
He's bought some merch.
And then, of course, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
Correct! Ding!
I know exactly what you mean. And we are back live here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. If you're listening to us live on Rant EM Radio, thank you for joining us. Jordan Oliver calling shortly from MLW Wrestling Injustice, GCW. He's done it all. He'll be calling us shortly. And if you're listening to us in podcast form, we appreciate that. On the TuneIn, on the iTunes, Google Play,
everywhere.
Spotify, wherever you're listening to the Shining Wizards.
Audio boom.
If you can rate and review,
still a thing.
We would appreciate that.
5 stars, people. Only the best.
I will be at the MLW show this Saturday night in Philadelphia with a good old Big Coppa Pump and Phil Rea and some other weirdo. I don't know who else is going.
Are you driving with them?
Yes.
Oh, great. You're going to hear about Phil's awful commute for fucking 2 hours on the way to Philly.
It's okay. It's all worth it.
Complaining about a commute on a commute.
That Philadelphia show is stacked to the gills for MLW.
Yes, it is.
We got, what do we got? We got Tom Lawler against Killer Cross.
That's going to be cool.
We got heavyweight champion Jacob Fatu against
Shima.
Alexander Hammerstone against T-Hawk.
Yeah, T-Hawk.
Davey Boy Smith Jr. against Eric Stevens, debuting Eric Stevens. Low-key against King Mo, which I will probably lose my voice yelling at King Mo. I hate him.
Low-key knocks him the fuck out.
Brian Pillman Jr. against Jimmy Havoc.
You know, this is nice, though, because finally Jimmy Havoc and Mance Warner are going their separate ways, so kudos to them.
They are.
That should be a good match.
Talk about that after we get off the line with Jordan Oliver.
Yeah, yeah.
Los Parks are taking on Contra Unit in a lumberjack match.
L.A. Park is back?
L.A. Park and El Hijo de L.A. Park.
But this is L.A. Park's first match since he lost against Fatu, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Myron Reed defends the middleweight championship against Ares.
Who?
Who's that, AAA guy?
Fuck that guy.
Our guest tonight, Jordan Oliver and Cotto Brazil, take on Gringo Loco and Puma King. And just announced today, Septimo Dragon takes on Douglas James. So this is a stacked MLW show that I'm really looking forward to.
You getting Von Erickson there?
No announcement of the Von Erickson yet, but I'm sure they'll be involved.
I hope so.
I'm sure they'll be involved. Don't worry.
You going to stomp on Marshall's toes?
If he comes near me, maybe. Wear some fucking shoes, bro.
Marshall's respecting his father, Kevin. He's continuing tradition. You know how that started, by the way?
How?
That was a rib. Kevin Von Erich was in the locker room, and I forget which one of the old-timers hit his boots on him so he couldn't fucking wear them. And he had to go out to the ring with no boots on, and he liked it so much he wrestled the rest of his career without boots. I like them apples.
Skeevy.
That's fine, but tradition is shit that like happened like 200
years
ago.
Wait. Follow Bob wrestles with no shoes. Doesn't Jacob Fatu wrestle with no shoes?
I mean, they're... A lot of people wrestle with no shoes. Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Matt Riddle, who was in the Royal Rumble, who we didn't mention.
Apparently
no
him
shoes.
And Brock got into some kind of verbal altercation backstage.
No, Riddle and Goldberg, Riddle and Brock.
Riddle just doesn't give a fuck.
Love Riddle.
Talking about not giving a fuck, joining us right now on the line, he is one third of Injustice. He is the one and only Jordan Oliver. Jordan, how are you tonight?
Yo, what's up? What's up?
Nothing. How are you?
I'm all right.
You getting all... primed up for a big weekend at MLW.
Hell yeah. It's going to be sick. Big fucking 2300 return.
Have you ever worked the 2300 arena before?
Yeah, I actually got to wrestle on the 2300 arena like maybe 2 years ago. I debuted there in Cage of Death 20 against Casey Navarro. We opened the show. It was pretty awesome to be able to wrestle in the ECW arena.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, what was that like for you? I mean, are you... brushed up on the history of obviously of ECW and all that stuff. Was that like a big moment for you based on what you grew up watching, or was it just like, all right, I know about it, it's cool, it's a legendary building? Like, how deep was that moment for you?
It was so fucking awesome. I love all ECW, old ECW, and I love early CZW. Like, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is Trent Acid, so it was really cool being able to wrestle in the building with his name on the wall and whatnot. I just, you know what I'm saying, obviously very inspired by early ECW and stuff. So it was very big for me.
You talked about early ECW. I know recently you got to wrestle Too Cool Scorpio. How was that experience?
No, I didn't get to wrestle Too Cool Scorpio, but I really want to, actually. It's a thing going around right now where people want to see that match.
Yeah, you cut that scathing promo in like Denver, right, a couple weeks ago?
It wasn't in Denver. It was in Philadelphia at the Voltage Lounge after a GCW show.
God, I'm 0-2. I'm done asking questions now. I fucking suck. Jesus Christ. We reached out to you a couple weeks ago when this huge phenomenon hit you and Christian at GCW at the end of December. And we kind of talked about it here on the show where it was a lot of people who came out and they were very much like so negative towards it. But there was a small pocket of guys who kind of reached out to you and they gave constructive criticism, but they weren't negative about it. They're just trying to maybe give you a couple tips. How have you taken that going forward? The positive and the negative. Obviously, we know Jim Cornette went fucking apeshit, and
as he does,
you know, it's for you, anything that he doesn't, you or the Young Bucks understand. Or someone else is going to give him a fucking heart attack, and then we don't have to listen to his dumb mouth. But how's that whole experience been for you?
I mean, it was pretty awesome, right? Just because people were talking, that's really cool. It was really cool being able to, my favorite wrestler of, like, my number one favorite wrestler ever is Will Ospreay. So it was really cool that he got involved in the conversation. I really got to speak to a lot of really good guys about the situation. And, you know, a lot of people were really, they really enjoyed the spot. And some people liked it a little bit, not a lot. And then there's a lot of people that really hated it. And the people that hated it, that wanted to come at me sideways on Twitter, like they had some sort of, you know, big Twitter dick or something. I don't give a fuck about anything they said. You know, I don't care what Jim Cornette said. I don't care about what Justin Credible said, Finley. You know, I don't give a fuck about any of those guys because those aren't the kind of guys that I would go to advice for anyway.
I'm just going to start out by saying this is the most incredible interview we've ever done, and we're only about 3 minutes into it. And so, but so you kind of just answered it a little bit, but you're a young guy in the business with experience. I'm not going to just shortchange that. But how do you plan on handling, you know, the wrestling media, you know, the Twitter accounts, all this stuff that might either praise you or literally try to tear you down. Not maybe not on purpose, but like there's gonna be criticism along the way, and you know that. Being a young man in this business, how do you plan on handling that in the future?
I mean, I'm just gonna handle it the way I see other great people handle it. You know, obviously I wasn't around for Dynamite Kid and Tiger Mask, but I know for a fact that those guys got the same exact shit that I got for doing a high spot. And I know it's the same exact shit that Ricochet and Will Ospreay got for doing a high spot. And if you ask me, that's a pretty good list to fucking be on. So I'm really just going to, you know, as much hate, people can give me as much hate as they want, you know. I grew up in a hateful environment. It doesn't really affect me. It really just runs off my back. But I always said I started wrestling to the positive motherfuckers out there that are like, yeah, Jordan, you're doing good. Maybe work on this, or I really like you. You're awesome. But, you know, whatever people want to say, like the good stuff, I fucking respect those people. And I fuck with the real people and only the real people in wrestling, because there's a lot of fake motherfuckers out here.
Yeah, it's just like every other business. And we preached it when this video surfaced and everyone came out and they threw their shade. These guys are veterans. Like, they built the foundation of the business for you. They should be helping you guys continue to make wrestling successful instead of trying to tear it down. And it's heartbreaking. If you disagree with what you see, you praise in public and you talk behind closed doors. You don't put it out on fucking Twitter like a 12-year-old girl. And it's disappointing when you see guys like Finley and Jim Cornette do that. But on to more positive stuff. You guys are killing it in MLW. If anyone just saw the recent episode, you were in a three-team tag match. Unfortunately, Injustice was once again screwed over. But you shined. The fucking cutter to the outside of the ring on Puma King was amazing. Yeah. How much have you benefited from working with these guys from AAA?
So I'm trying to think of which guys from AAA I've worked with other than, I think Puma King, it was the first one at the pay-per-view, and that was really awesome because obviously he's a dynamic performer with a lot of charisma and he does a lot of the cool fucking moves and shit. But then like this match was it was Drago, Black Torres, and Puma King. And those guys, you know, Puma King, Black Torres, and Drago are all really, you know, they're veterans in the business. They're not really, you know, like young guys. Some of them are just getting exposure now, but they've been in the business for a long time. So they have a good brain for what the fans want to see. And they wrestle around in Texas a lot and stuff. So they know how that crowd would react to certain stuff a lot better than someone like myself. But it's just been really cool, like, especially Drago was pretty awesome because I don't know if you remember, like, the first Lucha Underground episode a few years ago was, like, Phoenix, Drago, and Pentagon Jr. was, like, the first main event of that show. And that match just really was so awesome when I saw it as a fan. So it was really cool being able to step in there with Drago.
Absolutely. The match was amazing. If you haven't watched the latest MLW show, it's on YouTube. Go out of your way. It's the tag match that opens the show, and it is, like, the perfect way to start a show.
I got to ask you real quick, before you guys went out for that three-team tag match, you guys had a little back and forth with Conan backstage, and I got to ask you, are Cinnabons used for some sort of currency in prison that I'm not aware of? Because I think you kind of flustered Conan, and he didn't know where to go, and I thought it was kind of funny that he threw Cinnabons at you.
I know. I think Conan needs to get slapped again.
Like, by you or Psychosis 2 again?
Whoever. He keeps opening his old ass mouth around me in the locker room. I don't really appreciate it.
Wow, so you
love it.
You have clearly in this few first minutes of this interview, there's clearly no filter on you.
No, man.
I love it.
I don't
man.
See why there would be, you know what I'm saying?
Do you want to be the fourth Shining Wizard? I think you'd fit in perfectly with us.
Shining Wizard again. Yeah.
no filter, clearly, right now. And you, like you said, you mentioned you don't care what, you know, Cornette says. You don't care what so-and-so says. You don't care. Do you ever feel like in the back of your mind that one day there might have to be a chance where you might have to care what people think about what you say?
It's so weird because so obviously I'm only 20 years old, and my generation of youth, we're all like fucked up with mental bullshit, anxieties, depression, whatever, you know. So I'm pretty anxious already about what people think about me, but I just grown up to realize it doesn't fucking matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is some people that I care about what they say, and it maybe affects me a little bit inside, but I never give a fuck about it after that minute or 4 seconds of like, oh, you know what, this guy thinks that, whatever, he's a slapdick anyway. I don't need that negativity in my life. I just want to be here to be a positive influence to the young wrestlers, the wrestlers that are younger than me, and the wrestlers that are my same age but don't know what to do to, you know, get over, or they can't get out of their little environment. I want to show all those guys that you can do it as long as you do it your way. Fuck what everyone else says. Obviously, listen to the, you know, the right people. But there's a lot of slapdicks out there that are going to try to hold you down.
So who are the right people in your life right now that give you advice?
I want to know who the slapdicks are.
Yeah, well, we could go both ways.
Bring it back, slapdick. I like that. I'm bringing it back.
Yeah, you gotta shout that one out to Jackson Stone. He gave that one to me.
So who are the
good people, you know, in wrestling right now that have been really, really gracious to help me out as much as they have been like Jimmy Rave. He's obviously, yes, one of my biggest mentors. Rich Swann, David Starr, a lot of guys, nice, like that. Even like Danny Daniels at AAW, the promoter there, he's been helping me a lot and giving me a lot of great advice. And there's just Sam McCallahan. There's a million good guys, you know what I'm saying? There just happens to be a lot more bad guys.
Unfortunately, how much does it help that that Court took you and he put you with Kodo and Myron?
Oh man, it's awesome. It didn't even cross my mind when I first got signed MLW that I would be able to work with Myron, because I don't know, not a lot of people used to know this, but we backyard wrestled together in like the same sort of circle and whatnot, some sort of like, the backyard wrestling community is so weird. Outside of, it's like the indie wrestling bubble, like where there's promotions in, you know, New York, all these different states, like North Carolina, and backyard wrestlers will travel to different promotions across the state backyard wrestling nowadays. It's so awesome. But Myron was a part of that in Louisville, and I was in New York, so we had talked a little bit already when we were like kids. So I've known Myron since I was like 12, 13. So it was really cool being able to actually work with him nowadays when he's such a talented in-ring performer. Like, he's just really fucking good, you know? Yeah. And then Kodo, I didn't know much of him before MLW, but it's really cool too, because the first MLW match I watched was him versus Myron, and now we're all together. So it's pretty awesome.
What was your backyard gimmick?
I was just the same thing.
Just Jordan Oliver?
Yeah. I was, when I first started, my nickname was the most dangerous man in backyard wrestling. Because I really like a strong style, and I want it to be unsafe.
How did that go? Because me and Tony, before you were born, which is disgusting that I have to say that, we also did backyard wrestling for many years.
Not travel, though, to backyard wrestle.
Yeah, that's a new one.
I love it. I mean, we got some online feuds with some other backyard wrestling promotions, but it never, I wasn't going to fucking Canada to fight some other backyard wrestler. But we managed to do it for a number of years, and thankfully no one ever really got, like, we watched the tape sometime and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm not paralyzed. How much did that help your backyard wrestling when you actually started training? Like, you kind of figure out the nuances, or maybe there's like one guy who maybe did like a year at a school and he comes in and he's like, I'll show you to do a collar elbow, I'll show you to do a back bump. Like,
yeah.
Did that help when you decided to take the next step into the world of professional wrestling?
I actually started professionally wrestling untrained. So my first two matches, I was not properly trained. Like, maybe I'd been to a school one or two times, but I had my debut match untrained, and then I was like, I was fine enough to get by, you know, like nobody was like, oh, this guy's untrained. But my third match was against Coco Beware,
Oh, the Birdman.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
His bump card was already filled up, huh?
Yeah. It was a tag match. I was just going to the show to help out. And the promoter was like, "Oh, do you want to wrestle Coco Beware?" I was like, "Fuck yeah, Brainbuster." So then it was a tag match of me and TJ Blade versus the Jersey Kid and Coco Beware. And we got through that match. It was all right. It was probably dog shit, but it was all right for being untrained. You know what I mean? Like, Coco Beware he wrestled me. That was cool. And then after the match, Jersey Kid was like, "Oh, I really think you have some sort of potential," or whatever. So then I moved in with him for a year, and I started training at all these schools when I was 15.
So now, is that something that you would tell somebody to do now? Go into a match like go into a match untrained?
I'd be like, "Wrestle fucking Coco Beware, yeah, and come talk to me, bitch."
So I wouldn't give that advice to anybody, because I definitely wasn't like good. Like, you know, if I had never learned how, like, I knew basic wrestling shit. Like, I knew how to lock up, and I knew a headlock, and I knew everything needed to be on the left side. Like, I knew like a lot of the basics and like stuff, but there's so many things that you need to learn through a wrestling school. I think it's very, 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 very important to get trained, you know. But it's just my situation ended up being a little bit different than most guys' situation. So
you mentioned that you did backyard wrestling in New York. Are you from the tri-state area?
I'm from Newburg, yeah. New York, yeah.
Okay. So we're right there next. Well, we're in Jersey, but whatever.
Yeah.
Close I mean, enough. It's neither here nor there. Whatever. It's besides the point. Growing up, ECW, you said, was a huge influence on you. Have you gotten a chance to work with any of those ECW guys where you just kind of have that surreal moment where you go back to being a fan? And you're like, "Holy shit, I'm about to step in the ring with, you know, whoever."
Fuck, I actually have not got to wrestle anybody like really awesome from ECW, like at least the old ECW. But Tommy Dreamer has in the past few years, you know, taken me and the rest of the Young Dumb Kids aside a lot and helped us out and gave us some really, really good advice and, you know, just helped us, you know, whether it be like help us get into setting up a TNA or just giving us good advice. Tommy's been really cool. But I haven't really wrestled anybody awesome from the old ECW. But I did get to wrestle Snitsky one time, and that was cool.
He was in bite your tongue, Matt.
That's not ECW!
ECW legend Gene Snitsky.
I'll fucking stab you, I swear to God.
I am saying he's a legend. I'm just saying he was in ECW.
He wasn't in ECW. He's in WWECW.
Yeah.
Jordan, don't be that guy, Jordan.
Be whatever you want to be,
but
Jordan.
You know, but,
fight,
you know,
rights.
I wasn't alive for the like, I didn't get to see any of the original ECW until after I saw the old ECW, the new ECW.
Right, and the old ECW is much better than that dog shit the WWE did.
Yeah, of course. All but right. It wasn't, you know.
It's a coin
like,
flip.
They gave us CM Punk, so.
Yeah. They gave us, yeah, but come on, man. Like,
I mean,
were there, you were there in
it,
Dallas, no rope barbed wire match. I was in Philadelphia for Sabu Terry Funk, no rope barbed wire match. Like, this is legendary shit. Snitsky's punting babies,
wow, so
and nobody cares.
Hey, I care.
Shut
up.
It's his
fault.
Yeah, you're right. That's, oh my God, that's so awesome that you actually got to go to some of the ECW shows, like the actual ECW shows.
When I go, I'm going to MLW Saturday. It'll be the first time I've been in the ECW arena in probably like 20 years.
Wow, I need to meet up with you on that day and ask you how different it looks and feels.
Absolutely. I'm super excited.
Getting back to MLW, and they're obviously on the precipice of some great things. They've been extremely successful in a climate where there's so much professional wrestling, so much successful professional wrestling. Where do you see MLW's future, and what do you see your part being in playing in that future?
Was that too
legit of a question? I'm sorry, dude.
No, it's good. I just needed to think about it. I think a lot of people say that MLW reminds them or feels to them like old Ring of Honor, like Ring of Honor 2004 and 5, like, you know, the awesome years of Ring of Honor. I think that the position of MLW in wrestling is just being the outlier. You know, I mean, it would be really cool, you know, if MLW became like the third major promotion in America or the world or whatever, and could compete with AEW and WWE. But like, it's really cool that to me that MLW is like the outlaw promotion of the big one. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for sure.
So I hope my position, I feel like my position in the company is just be wild shit and hopefully be the fucking champion.
You mentioned AEW and not just an MLW guy. You've got your foot in the Game Changer Wrestling field. And on February 15th, it's going to be AEW against MLW when you step in the ring against Joey Janela. I know this isn't your first time in Game Changer, but how excited are you to get in the ring with Joey and to be part of GCW? Because they've really, really blown up in the last couple of years.
I fucking love wrestling for GCW. Every single time I wrestle for GCW, it gives me such an amazing feeling before I go out. I'm just like, dude, this is the fucking place to be right now. You know, there's nowhere that feels like MLW. I mean, that feels like GCW, and there's nowhere that it's as fucking cool as GCW. And to be honest, there's really not much wrestlers, like, when you look at cool factor, that are as cool as fucking Joey Janela. Like, so it'll be really fucking awesome to be able to wrestle Joey Janela at GCW of all places. I got to wrestle him a few years ago. It was me, Casey Navarro, and Joey Janela in a three-way. And that match was really awesome back then, being able to wrestle Joey pretty early on. But now that I feel like I'm so much better and well-equipped for the match, I feel like we're really going to fucking tear the house down.
Now, if you beat Joey, does that give you carte blanche to maybe get in on that Will Ospreay match at WrestleMania weekend in GCW?
Man, I motherfucking hope so. I'm going to go out there with Joey. We're going to have a fucking five-star. This guy Meltzer is going to he's gonna have to clean his fucking pants after he watches this shit.
Well, we're going to start lobbying for you against Ospreay at GCW WrestleMania weekend, because I think that would be awesome. Yeah. And if you want to throw Christian Blake in there, I'm okay with that, because you two guys you did a pretty good job there in December. So, you know, you two, you throw an Ospreay in there, I think we got ourselves a good match.
Hell yeah. I think that is the match that needs to fucking happen.
Well, we're going to start it.
I got to get in there with Will Ospreay sometime that weekend. You know, I'm on the High Spot show. He's on the High Spot show. I'm on most GCW shows. He's on the GCW shows.
Now,
I'm going to see that motherfucker one way or another.
Have you ever actually had an interaction with Will Ospreay?
No, that's my dream, dude. He's my fucking favorite wrestler ever.
But no, that's why I was asking. I wasn't sure if you ever had, you know.
He's my Hulk Hogan, you know what I mean?
No, that's awesome. So I'm super excited that you'll be in the same building at the same time. Is there anyone else on that bucket list that you would want to either work or at least have a conversation with?
Yeah, there's so many people for me that I'd want to like at least talk to, but there's like fuck. That's what I mean. So many people, like Ultimo Dragon, would be so awesome to be able to talk to or even be able to wrestle one day. There's a lot of guys like that that I really look up to.
Let me ask you this real quick. Just because being in locker rooms is a weird situation for a lot of guys, and you're a young man, do you feel comfortable enough now at this point in your career to go up to, I guess, say, just because you just mentioned him, like an Ultimo Dragon or a Will Ospreay? Like, is that something that you'll go out of your way to do, or do you sit back and just kind of wait for a moment?
No, I'm pretty upfront about speaking to, you know, people like that, because I always looked at it like if we're in the same locker room, we're on the same level sort of thing. I never like to think like, this guy, I'll never be as good as Will Ospreay. He's so much better than me. You know what I mean? Like, I like to think like we're in the same locker room. There's an opportunity that I'll be on your level someday. If I'm not already, I'd love to ask you for some advice. You know, I love asking for advice because, you know, as many people think, oh, Jordan Oliver has a bad attitude. He doesn't listen to veterans, blah, 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 blah. It's just bullshit, because I usually go out of my way specifically to talk to guys that I look up to and think are really good.
You mentioned etiquette in the locker room, and I know it's something that we usually speak to guests about. Are you like you're around the MLW locker room all the time, Game Changer all the time? Is that the type of locker room, or is it the type of atmosphere where everybody says hi to everybody, even if you don't know someone, even if, you know, like, I know you say you consider everybody on the same level if you're in the locker room, and of course I believe that's true as well. But do you still see like the old school, like you walk in, you introduce yourself, you say hi to everybody, you shake hands, you know, you do the whole meet and greet thing every time you get into the locker room, or do you see something that like that is like kind of like going by the wayside?
So GCW and MLW specifically, I always see that, because those two families, the roster is pretty tight-knit, you know, even at GCW when the debut guys will come in. But for the most part, GCW is pretty much a very tight roster. Everyone there is great friends and whatnot for the most part, you know. And same at MLW. But I definitely do see that as a passing trend. I don't think that we're going to be shaking hands for much longer just because it's not everyone needs to be friends, I guess. I don't know. It's a weird thing. You know, a lot of people are so weird about shaking hands in the business, like, because you have to. But if you have, like, if someone misses you, then you guys have heat, even if you don't have heat. And a lot of times it creates a bigger issue than it needs to be, I think.
You know what you need to do? Fucking fist bump. Because when you shake hands, everyone catches a fucking cold.
Yeah.
Fucking germ maniac.
Clementines and shit.
No, because you know what? I've been backstage at some wrestling shows through the grace of this podcast, and you got to shake people's hands, and the fucking dead fish handshake is the most unmanly fucking
thing.
Come
on, bro.
I fucking hate that shit. Fucking shake my hand like a man.
I don't know why
fucking,
that bothers you so much.
You fake fight in fucking underwear. Shake my hand like a man.
Dude, that goes back to Carney days. That's tradition.
But it's not. It's fucking 2020, bro.
We just get rid of everything, why don't we?
Look, tradition is shit that dead people did. I'm sorry.
Get rid of the ring, why don't you?
I mean, they're gonna take the ropes off for an MLW match with Contra and Davey Boy Smith Jr., so. You're okay. You're okay with shaking hands, but when Low Life Louie brings a fucking dildo in the ring and he hits you in the face with it, you think that's wrestling. Who? And I love Louie. Yeah,
you're asking me? Fuck. Well, dildos have a place in wrestling, why not?
Jordan, the dildos have a place in wrestling.
Yeah, I think I'm the wrong guy to ask what belongs in wrestling.
Well, you
apparently,
were
I'm not even a wrestler.
You were in the locker room with Louis this weekend. Did he bring his dildo?
Yeah, he brought the dildo. He brought it everywhere.
That's what we're talking about.
Louis is a great friend of our show, and he does our show quite a bit, and we gave him an honorary dildo wrapped in barbed wire.
Nice.
Jordan, it has been a pleasure. At the Jordan Oliver on Twitter, give him a follow. He also has a pro wrestling tee store. They're doing their big sale this week, the next 3 days, so it's 15% off. He's got the Slow Down Kid t-shirt. He's got the Am I Famous shirt, Jordan Oliver 1999 Wrestling. So go over there, check it out. Coupon code CUSTOMER. You save 15% between now and January 30th, and then this Saturday night down in Philadelphia at the 2300 Arena, he's in a tag match with his Injustice brother, Coto Brazil, against that punk-ass Gringo Loco, who dresses like Super Callow, and Puma King. So I'll be in the house. I'll be cheering on Injustice. Jordan, before we let you go, anything you want to leave us with, tell your fans?
Just fucking pay attention to my Twitter because this whole year I'm spreading a good message, a positive message to the younger wrestlers in the business, like I said earlier.
Beautiful.
Jordan, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to catching up with you at the ECW Arena Saturday night, and I'll let you know what I think about the layout. I'm very excited for this.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys so much. I'll catch you Saturday then.
Sounds good, Jordan. Everyone, Jordan Oliver at the Jordan Oliver on Twitter. Make sure you give him a follow and check out MLW. Every Monday they drop a new show on YouTube. And you can go through the back catalog and you can see all the stuff with Jordan when he got into MLW and the rise to Injustice and him just kicking ass.
Beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there he is.
Thanks,
Jordan.
Enjoy
the rest of your night, Jordan. Jordan right. Oliver, everybody.
You know what's so crazy? Is like just I want to give advice to the younger people in the business. The guy's 20 years old.
Yeah, here's some advice. Talking to your microphone. You're like
I'm right here.
No, you're really not, dude. It's bad.
How is it not? That might not be my problem then.
No, it is your problem. You got to get into the microphone,
dude.
I'm
right here.
You have a habit of doing this all the time, and like you could barely hear you.
How much did I do that a lot in the interview?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, you could have said something then.
Well, during the interview, yeah. Hey, shithead, fix
or
your mic.
Fucking give me a motion or something. I'm literally, Tony, how much closer to the microphone do you want me to get?
No, you
right
sound
now?
Better now. But usually you do this.
I'm not throwing stones, but he was fucking with your levels. But whatever, it's neither here nor there. Jordan Oliver was awesome. MLW is doing great things.
It's all right, bro. I got you. I'm just giving you.
Yeah, but he just said you were fucking with my levels.
Trying to get you
trying
like,
to make
louder.
It louder,
yeah.
So you could hear you.
All right,
not you, but we could hear you.
We could hear.
But now, non-Jordan.
Non-Jordan.
No. All right, MLW, what'd you think of the barbed wire match between Mance and Jimmy Havoc?
I really thought that Priscilla would have been involved a little more. But finally, dude, I don't want to shit on it, but thankfully it's over. Mansoor finally got his hand raised, and they beat the shit out of each other. It was a fitting finale. Like the way Jimmy Havoc ripped the sweater off of Mansoor and stapled it to his back, and then he yanked it off. Yo, that's some weird shit, dude. That is some crazy shit.
How about you stop throwing your microphone around with the rustling noise behind it? How about that?
Wow, Kevin's mad at me for giving him advice.
It's usually how it goes.
Wow.
Towards the end of the show, it's usually like the last half hour where I just start yelling at Tony.
We really do hate each other here at the Shining Wizards.
We mentioned the tag match that opened the show. Drago and Puma King beat Taurus and Lowrider and Jordan Oliver and Cota Brazil.
Yo, that Taurus, though, he's a tough motherfucker.
He's awesome. He was on Impact, too, this week.
Out of people. What, for real?
Yeah.
We got a two for Taurus.
He wrestled Moose and Rhino, and he beat them.
A four Taurus.
Well, a two for two would be a four.
A four Taurus.
And then Loki beat Chandler Hopkins.
That was a good match.
Yeah.
And Loki gave him a little respect at the end. I liked it.
Are these some new names that are popping up in MLW?
Yeah, Chandler and a couple of the luchadors. But I think they all wound up coming in because Injustice was starting some shit with Conan backstage. So Conan sent these guys out to go get him. And
so now the Conan slap thing, that's different than the...
That was at the
that
Impact
That didn't happen.
Things.
Yeah, that was at the Impact.
Okay, all right.
Like, that was not something that is on TV.
But Jordan Oliver wasn't involved in that.
No. But there was a backstage segment where they talked shit to Conan.
Gotcha.
They called him an old fuck or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Conan says...
He called him an old fuck in his interview.
He said, don't come in here with that smoke, Holmes.
Yeah, and then he said, if you and I wind up in prison, I'll trade you in for some Cinnabons. And they just laughed at him. They're like, what the fuck does that mean?
Maybe Cinnabons are like huge... huge.
Yeah, but how do you get Cinnabons in prison?
You get them from the commissary.
You hide it in a lasagna.
I thought you were going to say an asshole.
A boo.
Oh, fuck.
Isn't that what everyone, like if you wanted to bring like a knife into prison, you would hide it in a lasagna?
I thought it was always baked in a cake.
I mean,
that could be too. So maybe put the Cinnabon
in
a cake.
Well, hey, in Pee Wee's Big Adventure, it was in a foot long.
That's true.
And 1 foot long.
Moving past MLW again.
What, that's it?
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
You
want to
talk about
Davey
Boy Smith Jr. against Contra? With Brian Pillman's awful fucking hair again?
Really?
It's the bottom half is white. The top half is blonde. It looks terrible.
Did you see him posting as his father's Galoob action figure?
I hope he posts his fucking balls on the fucking top turnbuckle.
Mansoor took a staple to the nuts, too.
Enough with the... Yeah, and then you see him he took the barbed wire bat and he hit him, but he couldn't reach around to grab it to do this because all the barbs were there, so he was just doing this, and Jimmy Havoc was jumping up and down.
He was jerking him off.
Big jerk off.
Oh, Mansoor gonna get you some release, baby. It is nice that they're moving on and Jimmy Havoc's getting... Well, you don't think?
No, I don't think there's any... I think Jimmy Havoc... There's nothing else for him in MLW right now.
No, he's who's he? He's wrestling Pillman next. Jimmy Havoc's taking on Pillman.
You're right.
At the,
my apologies. Yeah, at the 2300 show.
Yeah, man.
But speaking of Priscilla Kelly, she made her AEW debut this year.
She did.
So now she's got two contracts, maybe?
Maybe. Before we jump into that, I do just want to go down a small New Japan rabbit hole.
Let's do it.
Fuck,
I don't know if Tony knows.
What?
Tony knows nothing about New Japan.
Bro, your boy Kota Ibushi has influenza.
No, he's got something with his throat.
He's got influenza. He was pulled off the American tour.
No. He's got Molly Hatchet throat or some shit like that.
He doesn't have the fucking thing that's killing everybody.
Was she in the Breakfast Club?
Yes.
Flirting with disaster.
Molly Hatchet?
He's got... Oh, fuck. I got to see if I can feel...
I have it right here. He has influenza.
No, it's not the flu. He's got something else going on, too. He's got some sort of like throat issue as well.
He's got Kung Flu.
Really? Really?
He got me.
I know, but
I like it.
But you fell for an easy one. Like, he just fucking lobbed that one in there.
It was
like,
good. He was funny. That was Kung Flu was funny.
Fuck.
Apparently on Monday Night Raw, Ray and MVP had a match. So if you're
right now?
Here.
Yeah.
He's got
Ray and who?
Here. He's got
MVP.
Mallory Weiss syndrome. It's the boundary between your esophagus and your stomach, which is damaged, which is torn vertically and bleeding. So that's a little bit more than influenza. He's got some fucking serious internal
injuries.
Well,
who's your
going
fucking
on
source?
401 Mania, which got the news from Hachi News.
I got it from Dave Meltzer, who might as well be Japanese. So. Stick that in your peace pipe and smoke it, you fuckface.
Kate's new boyfriend, I guess.
Oh yeah, she had a good time with Meltzer.
Oh no,
she was on. She talked to him on his podcast and everything. She got 6 stars in the fucking international waters.
Wait. That was a legit thing. She was on his podcast.
She asked a question while they recorded a podcast.
Gotcha.
MJF was on there too, and somebody asked what was the last thing they ordered at McDonald's, and he goes, "I don't want to sound like a dick, but what the fuck is a McDonald's?" Made me fucking laugh. Really
MJF
hard.
Did that?
Yeah.
Oh, he's the best.
He was fucking awesome.
They've made McIntyre and Brock official for WrestleMania.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
That is awesome.
You know what else is awesome?
What's that?
Fucking Van Hammer getting Van Hammered.
Oh, fucking Van Hammer. What are you doing, bro?
Dude, he almost fucking killed a 5-year-old girl on a bicycle.
Well, don't fucking drink and drive in the afternoon.
Or at all.
Yeah, or how about at all, sir?
All right, fair enough.
And don't do 60 through a fucking residential area either. That's a good way to tip off the cops that you might be tipping a few back and getting behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Seriously. Van Hammer. What the
Stupid
fuck?
Stupid Van Hammer.
Idiot. He fucking no-sold Conrad at the fucking last StarCast as well. Didn't even fucking show up. Guy's got...
He was probably having a sixer and just reliving his flock days.
Flock him. Flocking asshole.
Flocking. There it is. That's flocking. The winner.
All right, so AEW was on a boat. Bash at the Beach too. Is that what they're calling it?
Pardue.
Sure. We saw the first ever title change in AEW history.
Yeah.
As Kenny Omega and Hangman Page took the titles off of Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian.
Can I ask you a question?
Holy shit.
What?
I didn't realize that was the first
title change in history. Yeah, because Rio won the tournament and Jericho won the tournament and the Scorpios won the tournament.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
So how come Kenny Omega's shitting on his boy and just high-fiving all the Young Bucks and all them? Is Adam Page not elite? I don't know. I feel bad for
Adam Page left the Elite. He didn't want to be Elite anymore.
But that's why the guy's got a drinking problem, because nobody fucking talks to him.
No, he made that decision himself.
He wanted to have a drinking problem.
And you know what? Look, with all due respect to the Young Bucks, you can't trust them now. You got gold.
Young Bucks don't have gold.
No. Adam Page and Kenny Omega do. So the Young Bucks come out. They want to be buddy-buddy with them. Adam Page, so what if he's got his beer goggles on?
And you know in the back of their mind,
you know
the
what
Young
they
Bucks
want.
Are thinking of those tag titles.
So they're going to shit on their buddy Kenny Omega.
The Young Bucks are ego-driven. They need that gold.
I thought they were Meltzer-driven.
They hit the Meltzer drivers.
Beautiful!
Wow. Look.
Each one of us has a gold medal right now.
I know. We're fucking hitting on all cylinders.
The Bucks. And Adam Page knows... Kenny Omega, he may have the blinders on. He thinks his buddies are very happy for him. But I think Adam Page has a right to be weary.
Has Kenny Omega always been a douche like this?
How is he a douche?
Because he's always like, oh, yeah, you guys are my boys. We won gold. Look at this. Great for us. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, Adam, where are you going? Doesn't matter, man. Hey, we all got gold.
How is that being douchey?
That's but like because being he does, like... He should know that the Young Bucks are going to be out to score some gold. Like,
but
why?
He's got blinders on.
So he's a douche.
He's not a douche because he has blinders on.
Why would he have blinders on? How long has he been friends with the Bucks?
Longer than he's been friends with Adam Page.
Okay, so there you go. He should know the Young Bucks better than that.
Well, maybe he just got caught up in the moment of being a tag team champion.
I think he's got seasick on that boat of his.
It's very possible.
And that's his first championship in AEW, right?
It is.
Yeah, a fucking tag team title.
So wait,
Adam
you
Page.
Think, oh my you God. Think Kenny Omega's douchey? How do you feel about Britt Baker destroying Tony Schiavone?
Oh, that was stupid. They even cut away from that shit.
She was being a cunt.
Yeah, she was bad.
I'll
say it. I don't like the Britt Baker. What are you talking about?
So,
do I?
Was Britt Baker douchey?
She's
she was a D nozzle, no?
She's cunty.
Yeah. Okay, just making sure. I need to know where the line is.
I don't know why she was saying that to Tony Schiavone, though. Like, what was that about?
Because she's a heel.
But picking on Tony Schiavone? What? Oh, man. If they book Schiavone versus Britt Baker in some sort of fucking
They're not going to book Schiavone versus Britt Baker.
Yeah, they will.
But how do you make Britt Baker an uber heel? You ever pick on Tony Schiavone who's just trying to do his fucking job?
The most harmless, like,
everybody loves Tony Schiavone.
Guy in the world. That was all, obviously all worked, right?
Cut the commercial and they were and she was, but then she's like, "You're a fucking barista. You're a fucking terrible
yeah,
barista."
Yeah, it's hard to take you away from your job at Starbucks.
It
or
was like,
that,
right?
Whatever.
What?
Love me some Schiavone.
She's stupid.
She's stupid.
I like her.
Wow. How do you feel about it being so windy that Jim Ross didn't wear a hat?
By God, it blew his face back the other way.
God, and you were making fun of Britt Baker.
But Kenny Omega's the douche.
Sorry.
Because he wants to celebrate being a tag team champion.
Yeah.
Not making fun of somebody who has Bell's palsy.
Oh, he's got Bell's palsy?
Jim Ross?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Sounds like that's what... Maybe you could talk wrestling with him on Twitter. You both seem fucking miserable enough.
Oh, you want to hear my impression of the Jim Ross show?
Sure.
Ask me a question.
Wait, what?
How did you feel about Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz defeating Jurassic Express?
Fucking Jungle Jack Perry. These douche fucking cocksuckers on Twitter always talking shit. Well, it's my fucking job. You don't like it, you don't want to fucking listen to me. What was the question?
That's how you feel about Grillin' JR?
I love Grillin'.
That's
JR.
How Grillin' JR is. Don't get me wrong. It's great. But you can ask him a question. JR, why is the sky blue? Fucking Dave Meltzer, fucking 5 stars, and fucking kiss my ass.
He loves Dave Meltzer.
He shits on Meltzer, too.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
You know how many times he compliments Meltzer?
Oh, they all compliment him.
No, Bruce doesn't. Bischoff doesn't.
Well,
Bischoff. Jim Ross goes out of his way to say that Meltzer is the most, like, he's the only one that can claim, other than I think he also mentions like Shearer and Johnson, but he's like the only one. He says that he's the only one that has Meltzer's back.
All right, fair enough.
Jericho pinned Stunt.
Yep, the Meltzer.
Right? Yep.
Yes.
MJF beat Joey Janela.
Had a good Patty Meltzer.
And a one-eyed John Moxley defeated Hamburger. Pac to officially become the number one contender, and he will now be taking on Jericho at AEW Revolution.
Oh, great. Another pay-per-view we get to fucking pick, and
right.
I get to fucking shit the
end of February,
bet on.
Shithead.
Great.
The second Jericho Cruise wasn't even done before they announced the third next year, February 1st to the 5th. They will be doing a triple whammy.
What does that mean?
Jericho Cruise.
What does that mean, though, triple whammy?
It's, I don't know. It's triple whammy. They're going to do wrestling
doing, like,
music.
Three shows?
I don't know what they're going to do. It just says it right here, triple whammy. It's part of triple whammy, the third Jericho Cruise.
Oh, maybe because it's the third one. That probably makes sense.
They're reporting that Lance Archer is in talks to join AEW.
That's Lance Hoyt, isn't it?
Yes.
Same guy. Yeah, okay, good.
Vance Archer.
Yes.
Yes. Same guy.
This week on Dynamite.
The three faces of Vance.
This week on Dynamite, we will see the inner circle of Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz.
Santana?
Santana.
Mamma mia, I'm in the inner circle.
Take on Darby Allin.
I leave a WWE for
Party.
AEW.
Because I know the best of all the times.
The Young Bucks will take on the Butcher and the Blade. Cody will face Kip Sabian.
I don't care what the women of WWE say. I deserve that spot in the Royal Rumble.
And then on February 5th, Cody will take his 10 lashes from MJF.
Because he lost to Wadlow?
No. Those are the stipulations.
Oh, he has to take the lashes before the match?
Yes.
What kind
Cody's
of...
Cody's not allowed
what?
To touch him.
That's right.
But the Young Bucks are.
Oh, yeah. We saw that.
So MJF ate a super kick. He has to wrestle Wardlow in a steel cage. And he has to take 10 lashes.
You know what Cody should have did?
What should
he
have did?
He should have said, fuck you, MJF. I don't give a fuck. Get out of my face. That's what he should have did. He should have turned this shit around.
What?
He should have turned it around. Make fucking MJF want to get at him, not the other way around, right? You don't think?
You think MJF would...
But MJF already got at him. Yeah. He cost him the chance to ever challenge for the AEW championship. He doesn't give a shit.
And MJF, I think, as a bad guy, would be like, all right, cool. I don't have to fight you? All right.
Good. And then he should fuck him up every chance he gets. That's what he should have done. Should have been some backstage shit. That's what I would have done.
We still got a couple weeks before...
You think he gets him,
Revolution,
or you think Wardlow's going to beat the shit out of him?
No, I think Cody waits. I think we wait until the pay-per-view. What sells pay-per-views? The build, baby.
So Wardlow, who hasn't had a match yet, right. He's getting in a cage with Cody, and he's going to lose.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know. We don't know.
There could be shenanigans.
Tomfoolery?
There could be a
chain. Dick Cheney's?
A chain around the fist from Wardlow.
Oh, he's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Fuck
that. Moving on to news and notes as we get ready to pull this train into the station. According to Meltzer, they changed around the winners of the Rumble about 2 weeks beforehand. It was supposed to be Shayna Baszler and Roman Reigns.
Yep. Well, according to Meltzer.
Yes. But
fuck
he,
Dave Meltzer.
But then they changed things around. And right now it's Brock versus Drew, which was confirmed tonight. They think The Fiend versus Roman and Edge versus Randy Orton.
Ooh, I like it.
Another news notes, Killer Cross is pulled out of his Australian dates.
Oh, there you go.
And his dates after the 15th, This is from his meeting with Triple H.
You know, I do.
So are they going to turn Randy Orton? I'm sorry, Tony. Go ahead.
I do like the fact that they put Edge with Orton because Orton's got that slow, methodical style. And if there are any issues with Edge's neck, this would probably be a better match for him to take at this point.
Yeah, but Orton, this will mean you assume that Orton's going to be the bad guy. This will mean this will be like his 20th heel turn in like.
No, but what I'm saying is like Orton, whether he's a heel or a face, he always works methodically. You know what I'm saying? And even if he does work a face, that means that Edge can control the match and do what he wants to do.
Why can't it just be you threw me out of the Rumble and we have history, so let's settle this at the biggest show in the world?
Because that's 2 months worth of build over that.
No, but what I'm saying is.
Gets Edge on TV every week.
But Randy Orton is a good opponent for Edge because I don't know what the fuck Edge's neck is. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. That's a
he doesn't
point.
Necessarily have to turn heel. It could just be a.
He could be
we
a
might
heel.
Even see like a rated RKO reunion. Maybe they beat Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy for the tag titles.
Okay,
or
that's
maybe
fine.
They take on Miz and Morrison at WrestleMania.
There's so many possibilities.
I was just thinking of that in my head. I think Miz and Morrison will challenge for a tag title at Mania, though. I do think that. I don't think it'll be. Them versus Orton and Edge.
It's going to be a fucking 10-team scramble match.
I really think they're going to, if depending on the severity of AJ Styles' injury, I really think they're missing out on a great match between Edge and AJ Styles.
Well, if Edge is back full-time or if he's going to do a bunch of these one-offs, I mean.
And then you know what you could have?
What can you have?
You could have AJ Styles and the club versus Edge.
And
the Edgeheads.
Oh God!
Of Curt Hawkins.
Yeah.
And Zach, you know what? Freaking Ryder, baby.
Oh God!
The champion out.
Thanks. I don't know where Boo is.
That's okay.
I really don't know where
they
Boo
announced
is.
Last night during the Royal Rumble that they will be returning to Saudi Arabia.
Yay!
So that's happening in February the 27th.
I don't even have the fucking Durka music on here yet.
That's okay. Maybe in an unpopular opinion, I like the Royal Rumble better than any of the other WWF pay-per-views, WWE pay-per-views, whatever.
All right, good for you.
That's like in general?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. It's my
favorite pay-per-view, like over WrestleMania.
Mine too. 100%, okay. Yeah.
I didn't know if that was an unpopular opinion.
It's definitely better than WrestleMania. And I think it's more so because we get two of them now.
Whoa,
two matches.
Whoa.
Tom Phillips has replaced Vic Joseph on the Raw commentary team.
Poor Vicky Joe.
That sucks.
So there's that going on. A little ROH news. The Briscoes have re-signed with the promotion.
Of course they did. They're not going anywhere.
Somebody else is back, too.
Oh, who's back?
Xavier.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Is he back for that past and present show?
I don't know if he signed a deal for just that or a real deal. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You're looking at the real deal.
I think him and Jay Lethal are actually going to have a match, I think.
Really?
I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have to look into that. ROH TV was a very tag team oriented one. The Bouncers beat Dalton Castle and Joe Hendry. Brian Johnson and PJ Black beat The Master and The Machine, Marcus Cross and Griff Garrison.
And PJ Black also re-signed.
Yes. Oh. And then two guys, one tag. They beat the Briscoe Brothers. That would be Silas Young and Josh Woods.
So they're pushing Silas.
That match against the Jay Lethal and Gresham at the show at the end of February is going to be awesome.
I see a video here. Apparently, when Beth Phoenix was injured in the Rumble, it was with Bianca Belair in the corner and not with Charlotte. So this must have happened earlier on because Charlotte's paired off with...
her hair was bloody for a long time.
I didn't notice it. I didn't notice it until like much later. And
Burke noticed it before I did. But... yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened. But she was integral to the finish, so that's why they probably kept her in.
Yeah. Yeah. NXT, real quick, while we pull the train to the station, your finals for the Dusty Classic are set. It's the Grizzled Young Vets against the worst name of a tag team in the history
of
professional
wrestling.
Yeah, this
is fucking awful.
The Broserweights. Did I say that right?
Yeah,
kill yourself.
I didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
Speaking of NXT, we talked about Alpha Female leaving, right? Didn't we talk
no,
about
we
that?
No, we did not.
We didn't talk about that last week. Oh, let's talk about it now.
Was it news last week?
Yes, it was news last week. We had a full show last week.
Okay.
Yeah, so Alpha Female is donezo with NXT UK. She's actually starting her own promotion called Sirius, like Sirius XM.
Yes, and she's also had many different ventures, so it was a mutual splitting. So, you know, you getting all upset and smashing at a WWE was unnecessary.
Well, it's not fair, dude. Alpha Female deserved a lot more than
what she decided
got.
That she wanted.
Yeah, she
because
wasn't
she was on NXT UK, she was afforded all these opportunities to go on tour with this rockin' band or whatever the fuck she was doing. And that got her on all these game shows and the dating shows, and she's doing well for herself.
She is.
So one hand washes the other.
I do find it a little disheartening, though, that she was like fighting and clawing to try to get to WWE for so long. And when she finally did, they really didn't do that much with her.
But it gave her the platform that put her in the position that she's in.
I understand.
One hand washes
the other. Well,
it wasn't
necessarily the platform. It's just that they had like 2 or 3 months in between every time they were using her anyway. So she did have all that time in between. It wasn't necessarily the platform. It just happened to be that time break in between.
Right, but that time break in between let her do these other things.
Yeah.
And it's not like she was never
featured. Which materialized into bigger things for her.
Yeah, but they, come on. Alpha Female, they should have done so much more with her.
Well, everyone can't be the fucking champion, Tony.
Why not? I beat them all, goddammit.
Keith Lee beat...
See? Keith Lee's the champion, goddammit.
He beat Roderick Strong to win the NXT North American Championship.
Awesome.
Oh, bask in his glory.
What else we got? Influenza and yes. NWA.
Mutually exclusive, by the way.
Crockett Cup. Impact has confirmed April 19th for their Rebellion pay-per-view in New York City at Terminal 5.
Ooh.
Yes. Watch a woman wrestle men.
So, Taya Valkyrie and Ace Austin defeated Tessa Blanchard and Trey Miguel in a non-title match on Impact. So, they're doing some stuff with that storyline.
Wait, non-title match?
Yeah, it was a non-title match.
What title would have been on the line in a tag match?
The X Division and the Knockouts Championship? I don't know.
Or the world title, too?
Like, yeah, maybe. A lot of champions in that match.
That makes no sense on so many levels.
Oh, look, I'm just telling you what I saw.
All right, there you go.
Impact is bringing back, as we mentioned, the TNA.
Yeah.
For one night only. We've already announced D'Lo Brown and Ken Anderson. They also announced Chris Sabian and Chris Harris.
Say that one more time.
Chris Sabian. Right. Why did I say Sabian?
Because Kip Sabian.
Fuck me.
Sorry. Wait, Harris was...
He was in the tag team with James Storm, right?
That's right.
They announced Chris Harris?
Yeah.
Braden Walker? The Braden Walker?
Yeah.
ECW
Don't you
legend?
Dare, you motherfucker.
ECW legend? Braden
I love you for
Walker?
That. I love
Stab
you for that.
The shit out of you.
That was awesome. Kevin laid the pavement down and he went over the top with the steamroller.
Motherfucker. They'll be announcing names on Twitter at noon and 6 p.m. Eastern for the next couple of
days. Maybe they'll announce ECW legend Shannon Moore, former TNA alum.
Now, Jordan Oliver's favorite version of ECW.
Fuck you guys. You
now, they're not including the NWA TNA name. It's just TNA, right?
Yeah, just TNA. They can't use the NWA.
I don't know, man.
What do you mean you don't know?
Ethan Page, he wants the King of the Mountain back in play.
Ooh.
King of the Mountain?
Yeah, the Abyss, Jeff Jarrett vehicle.
Yeah.
If you will.
In other news, our good friend Chris Dickinson will get to face Minoru Suzuki WrestleMania weekend at Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 2.
Minoru. I heard that guy's the shits.
Which is fucking...
Minoru? Minoru?
I thought that was a Jewish joke. I thought you said Minoru. I was like, that doesn't mean that's evil. Will evil be there?
No, evil will not be there.
Okay. Boo, she.
Dickinson also gets to face Shingo that weekend, I believe.
Tony, don't even try to make a joke.
What? If he gets sick, what does he have? The Shingos?
Maybe he was part of the Beatles. Maybe he was Shingo Star.
Fuck you and your New Japan on nonsense.
Matt's about to play the closing music right now.
Wait, you want me to play the closing music?
No. You know me.
AEW has a full page ad in the Super Bowl program, right on the front page, like right at the table of contents.
That's a lot of money.
That's awesome.
Super Bowl reaches a lot of people. I don't know if you knew that, Tony.
I like how it says new version. It's the old version.
Edge had like 4 different theme songs.
And I don't have any. I don't even have the fucking...
The Rob Zombie
one. I don't even have the Rob Zombie one. How is this a possible
I
thing?
I think I have the right one. Do you guys have anything else before we press this fucking show up?
Yes. Poop. There you go.
Next week.
Shout out to Twisted T.
Oh, what's next
week?
Next
week, Tony's fucking WrestleMania 17 rewind.
That's it, folks.
Oh, baby. And you already watched it.
I'm watching it again and again. I'm going to watch it two more times.
I'm also watching it. I'm about four matches in. And I have extensive notes on this.
Greatest pay-per-view of all time.
If you want to support the show, go over to prowrestlingtees.com/ShiningWizards. Enter the code COUPON at checkout between
customer.
Excuse me. Between now and January 30th, and you save 15%.
Can I give you a teaser of what's to come next week? I actually pulled a snippet of audio from WrestleMania 17.
Oh, boy.
And it actually deals with Edge, so it's timely and it's apropos. And Jim Ross with the call. Let me see if I get this. I've got to turn this all the way up. Hold on.
Here it's going to be like super loud.
No, here we
go.
It's
going to be this beer. Oh,
gosh, Lita's here.
Wow. Dirk and Angelo. Big Terry.
Did you hear?
No, I'm
Kevin
sorry.
Talked all over it.
Well, play it again. It's not like it's gone
here
forever.
Here we go, everyone.
Is that real?
Yes, it's real. It's 100% real.
Can I hear
you
one more
hear
time?
One more time? Sure.
The Bad Boss Leader's here. Dirk and Angel.
Oh, the foreshadowing in that.
Jerking Edge off.
It's the name of the show.
Oh, my God. Thank you for Jordan Oliver. Thanks to Jordan Oliver for calling in, joining us for this debauchery tonight.
At the Jordan Oliver on Twitter. Make sure you give him a follow and keep tabs on him. He's doing awesome stuff.
Oh, speaking of awesome stuff, we didn't even announce that we're going head-to-head with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
There we are.
Yeah. How did we do this week?
We broke even.
Why did we break even?
Because we're fucking stupid.
No, we're fucking losers.
I'll be at the MLW show this weekend in Philadelphia. If you're going to be down there, say hello. I'll be rocking my Shining Wizards gear. And if you can't find me, it's because Phil is blocking me because he's a fucking size of a small bus. So
there you go.
Next Friday, I'll be at Red's in Carlstadt, New Jersey, performing stand-up comedy.
Nice.
And then that Sunday, I'll be right back at my home turf at Tierney's Tavern. So two chances to come see me do stand-up comedy in one weekend. It's going to be a great, great weekend. So February 7th and February 9th. So hit me up if you want to know more information, because I just ran through that really quick.
If you want me to have a heart attack talking awful things about wrestling, hit me up on Twitter, at Big Tony Z. I've been a lot more active lately, and by God, it shows. I fucking hate wrestling fans.
You're Big Tony Z on Twitter?
Of course I am.
I thought you were SW. That's
I don't know who you're talking to, but that's not me.
I may be thinking your Instagram.
Maybe. I don't even use that. I don't even know how I fucking post pictures of that. It's like a fucking... It's a mystery.
The evolution is a mystery.
We'll be back next week with the Shining Wizards Rewind, WrestleMania 17, and whatever fun, exciting wrestling stuff happens in the next week. See you next week.